If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
It's that time of year again for the Reading Gun Show, this March 5th and 6th at the Holiday Inn Convention Center. Saturday hours are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. This is the gun show of the year, jam-packed with handguns, shotguns, rifles, ammunition, and of course, reloading supplies. The Reading Gun Show, this March 5th and 6th at the Holiday Inn Convention Center.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight. Somebody's gotta stand up. Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Yeah. Today is Sunday. Once
all
again.
All day.
All day long. The 28th of February. Wow.
It's almost gone.
Yeah, we're almost into, what's after February again?
March.
Yeah, we're almost into March.
Scary.
It's scary, yes. Well, anyway, my name is Mark Kent, and I am your host once again. I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
And Bob Martin, our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy. What's up, Bob?
How you doing, Mark and Linda and Red?
Good there morning. You have it.
And Red Smith, who's been on the blended glide path with an inappropriate assumption of solvency for quite some time with a soft guarantee of improbable financial stability post-employment.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah, that yep.
Yep. That takes care of that.
We are streaming worldwide, and go to the chat room at KCNR1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. All of our shows are podcast and archived as well. And you can friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night. We're still at 2570 South Bonneville. I'm not sure how long. A couple more meetings.
Yes. Yeah. We're there till March 7th, and then we'll be over at Chester Bible College.
Very good. Where they follow the Constitution with limited government fiscal responsibility and following the Constitution, unlike a whole bunch of other people here. You've been listening to Jefferson State of Mind with Red Smith. That's the show right before us. And I didn't get it all because the chat room went dead on me while I was getting ready.
We were talking about what form of state government we're looking at forming in the state of Jefferson and securing in our Constitution and bringing the representation back to the people. And one of the big ones that the questions have been lately is, how would the state of Jefferson draw your district lines for representation? Well, they're already drawn for us. It's called a county.
Yeah, I caught a little bit of that at the end when I was coming in.
Yeah, why are we going to split up, say, like Shasta County between Shasta, Lassen, and Tehama County? They're not representative of each other. I know a lot of them, and some of them don't even get along.
I don't think anybody gets along anymore. Anyway,
so essentially, we have our district lines. They're called counties.
Very good. Also, Shasta Lantern. We've had some big stories go through there this last week about Fracking Brown,
mm-hmm.
Jerry Fracking Brown, and I suggest everybody go to the www.shastalantern.com and maybe look at some of those articles over there. Very important stuff going on. You know, the criminal organization that we call the state government, is being head by the head, capo de capo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just getting to the point where the lawlessness is ridiculous. But before we get into that, do we have any veterans events?
We do. Missing in America Project will be holding their garage sale this coming weekend, March 4th and 5th at 6900. Daniel Way here in Reading. Please come out and show your support. We'll have a lot of good things out there. The money that we get from the garage sale will go to help locate and identify the remains of veterans that are sitting on the shelves in mortuaries so we can give them a proper burial. And don't forget, the gun show's coming this weekend. Got it right this time.
Mm-hmm. Wow, there you have it.
5th and 6th at the Holiday Inn. So come out and show your support for that.
Always
there's
going to
be
time.
A lot of good things there. Get it while you can get it before mm-hmm. they stop us from having gun shows or some stupid thing like that.
Yeah.
Tea party Monday night. I believe we are having the person who's running against, well, running for the empty seat for Boxer, I guess it is, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
U.S. Senate.
U.S. Senate Thomas Del Beccaro, is that?
I'm not sure how you say it.
I believe it's Beccaro.
Beccaro, yeah. He'll be there and be discussing the issues. Who's he running against? What left-wing bomb throwers he got to go against? Does anybody know?
Well, it's looking like Kamala Harris.
Oh, boy, that's a good choice. The capo de capo's lieutenant.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
If
it was the Godfather, Kamala Harris would be Luca Brasi. Too bad she can't go sleep with the
fish. We ought to just start giving these guys all names, like, you know, Hillary the Bull Clinton, you know.
That works.
Yeah.
That works a couple ways for Hillary.
Ew.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe she'll leave the country like the rest.
Got to come up with something good for, like, Jerry the Face Brown or, you know. Yeah.
I got some, but I don't think we can say it on the air.
Lefty Brown.
Lefty Brown. Fingers Harris.
Fingers Harris. I mean, it's funny, but it's not, because it's like that's what we're dealing with, I mean, anymore.
Yeah, Camilla No Guns. There's a good name for her.
Excuse me. I'm still kind of getting over this cold that perpetually never leaves. But
just keep it over there.
You know, when you hear this quote, it makes sense. The two enemies of the people are criminals and government. So let us tie the second down with the chains of the Constitution so the second will not become the legalized version of the first, Thomas Jefferson. Wow. Ta-da!
Yeah. It was almost like they dealt with it or something.
Kind of weird.
Knew what they were talking about.
Yeah. I mean, there you have it. And so what do we have up in we've got a king now. We've got a king. I mean, he just right his pen and his phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just starts confiscating property, which, you know, basically, you know, yeah. is.
And our Congress allows it all.
Yeah, they don't cut his funding. That shows you they're on our side.
Yeah, they got our best interest at heart there, don't they?
Yeah.
So they could take their plane away, take his plane away. That's. Take Air Force One away.
Do something.
Stop the vacations.
Oh, no, but we need to worry about...
He can fly Southwest.
We need to worry about the wolves or the, it's like the veterans thing. We want to take care of our veterans, but, you know, when you use that as a distraction so that you can vote for bills for Monsanto or vote for, the Cromney bus bill so that the president gets completely funded, at what point in time do you go... What are you doing?
Well, I've got a question, because I was actually looking at the most recent numbers and the things from the Veterans Affairs. There is over 300,000 vets that have died while awaiting medical services now.
Yeah.
How did Doug LaMalfa fix that? What exactly did Doug LaMalfa fix?
I don't know.
He's great for the veterans. He fixed the things with veterans. What did he fix? Well, what's fixed? What's different?
Don't say anything, though, because you're a malcontent. You're a bomb thrower.
Bomb-throwing anarchist.
You're a bomb-throwing anarchist, and you don't want to point out the truth on anything because that might mean that you aren't happy. And, you know, you should just crawl back into your cave of libertarianism and just shut up.
I know. I'm practically a primitive.
Well, practically is an arguable point as well.
No comment on that. But yeah. With that, I believe we have a caller on the line.
All right, go ahead.
Good morning, Gary. You have a question for us or comment?
Good morning. You commented about Thomas Del Vaccaro, who's a politician, went on the radio a couple days ago and asked about Jefferson. He avoided an answer.
Wow.
And that doesn't surprise me.
Well, he didn't avoid the answer when he was at the Tea Party. He told us he was all for it. He was right behind us. He was running to the head of the pack. That's what he said. I mean, basically.
That's what he said?
Yeah.
I think we're getting a little confused here.
No.
I don't think Tom was at the Tea Party yet.
Mike must be confused then.
No.
He's thinking of Joe Montez.
Until tomorrow night.
Oh.
So we need to nail him, and it's either yes or no. Not waltzing, not mumbling. We need to yes or no. Red, thank you very much for explaining the Siskiyou Monument. I was not aware of the magnitude of it, and I'm sure a lot of people, if they've heard of it at all, are just thinking, oh, well, you know, Castle Craigs, yeah, we'll preserve it, etc. We need to, needs to be another rallying cry for Jefferson that we are not to be shoved on a government reservation. I don't care what color you try to paint it, that's what these monuments
are. That's absolutely
are.
What it is. And we just really became aware of the scope of it ourselves. I mean, literally just became aware of it. We've been following the Castle Crag situation for some time, and that gave us great concern. And now that we've actually gotten a look at this thing, it's basically putting Southern Oregon and Northern California onto a federal reserve. And we know how good living on a federal reserve works out for folks, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, I guess the fact that they're trying to repeal the 17th Amendment, you know, in Utah could have a little bit of an issue there, you know. It's people are waking up, but I'll tell you what, this pin in the phone in the pen thing, you know, this guy is just, you know, basically usurping the Constitution. And of course, that's not a conspiracy, is it?
No, of course not.
No.
So anyway, thank you very much for a great program, and we'll see you tomorrow night. Bye.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Gary.
Thanks for the correction, Gary. I guess I was getting confused with, I'm just confused with all of these guys that are running anyway, because, I mean, I'm looking at an article here from the Liberty Beacon, and Hillary Clinton has some deep troubling ties to Monsanto and the biotech industry. And this
shocking.
This is at thelibertybeacon.com, and I'm thinking Hillary Clinton has some deep ties, and troubling ties to Monsanto and the biotech industry. Do we know anybody else that has, ties to the Monsanto that is?
Yeah, Doug LaMalva.
Yeah.
But he's a Republican.
And
that means what?
you're bomb throwings.
Yeah.
Now, doesn't it?
And the truth is?
After a while, you know, if you're walking through the forest and you come out of the bushes and all the trees are random and you walk out into the clearing and you see the trees are planted in rows, at what point in time do you come to the realization that there was some thought process, there was some planning, there was something involved there that other than a random act of God?
You wild conspiracy theorist, Jim.
I know.
Is there a wolf in that picture?
Yeah. Fish and Game just dropped it off.
I'm
just saying.
What I'm thinking is State of Jefferson, machine gun, helicopter, wolf hunts. just like they do in Texas.
Yeah. For the pigs.
For the pigs.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you get in the helicopter, they start
and
playing.
Hang out the door.
That's right. They start playing. Ba 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 ba. You know, and, you know, you swoop in over the trees and. Bah, 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 bah. And, you know, I don't think the wolves are going to have that big of a.
I can't believe that you
impact.
Would wish such a harmful result upon such a beautiful nature spirit.
Well,
what
I think
in the
I
hell
think,
is wrong with
I
you?
Think if we corralled some EPA guys in there with the BLM at the same time.
No, I would buy tickets for that.
I'm telling you. You know, can you imagine they're running across the rice fields or whatever, you know, and they're trying to just kidding. Yeah. Just kidding.
But what just is lead that? Them a little bit more.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Wait, what is that quote from that movie? If you shoot at them and run, they're VC. If they don't run, they're well-trained VC.
Seems like we've got VC, we've got nips in the wire, as they say.
There you go.
So all I'm saying is that Hillary, under the, you know, administration of Hillary Clinton at the State Department, promoted GMOs and Monsanto's GMO agenda around the globe. Shocker.
Yeah.
Was that in between uranium deals out of Eastern Oregon and Wyoming with the Russians?
See,
Benghazi.
My theory is this. I don't think they all get together at the Bohemian Grove, even though they might.
No.
Okay. What I think is that whoever is going to pay them, you know, the highest bidder owns me. Is that a conspiracy?
Even if you don't use the money at once?
There's no loyalty to their corruption. It really is, you know, up for the head auctioneer to decide.
So what is the definition of a conspiracy? Is it like when two people get to, you know, more than one person gets together and they plan, you know, secretly plan an illegal activity?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what that is?
I think so.
So there's no conspiracy, even though a lot of people are being bought off by large corporations and Wall Street and bankers and government officials. And there has to be more than one people and, you know, one person involved in that, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe just a few.
Maybe it's just Hillary.
Well, that's why I don't understand why everybody's so upset about Hillary's private email server. How do you expect her to accomplish all these things?
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Yeah, I mean.
Be reasonable. I mean.
I tried to email her at evilbitch.com, but, you know. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm kind of glad Bob's asleep.
Yeah.
No, he's not. He's fully awake over there.
I still prefer the nickname for Hillary, the Whore of Babylon.
Well, I mean, maybe that's a website.
Yeah.
Thewhoreofbabylon.net.
I'm not sure I want to look that up on the internet because I'm not sure what I'll get.
Yeah, you'll probably be surprised.
It might actually be Hillary, too, which would be even more terrifying.
Well, according to this article and multiple reports, that's multiple reports. And you can look this up. See, for the people who want to take the don't want to take the time and just say everything conspiracy, there's nothing to it, but they never do their homework. They never look into the underlying facts and it's just some theory because I heard on TV. Oh, well, that's a good news source. But here, under Hillary Clinton, from multiple reports, it looks like the Clinton State Department may have really operated as a Monsanto's foreign ambassador around the globe, okay, directing embassies to troubleshoot problematic legislation that might hinder biotech crop development, encouraging the development of commercialization of ag biotech products, producing pamphlets to promote biotech crops, sending pro-GMO DVDs to high school students in Hong Kong, and flew foreign officials and media from 17 countries to the United States to promote GMO agriculture. Does that sound a little conspiratorial to you?
I believe they call that lobbying.
Oh, okay. And then the fact that our guy...
Conspiracy is such an ugly word.
And then the fact that...
Doing business as usual.
That our guy signs the DARC Act after admitting he gets paid from Monsanto. No connection here, right?
None.
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 It's just all a big. It's just a. It's all a coincidence, you know.
And he didn't use all that money at once either. Remember?
You ever looked at the list of companies that Monsanto owns?
Just about all of them.
Is there a food corporation
in America
that Monsanto doesn't own?
I wonder who owns Monsanto. Maybe we should look into that. Who owns Monsanto? Is it just a nebulous corporation out there that operates in secrecy with no board of directors and no stockholders and no ownership? And it's like a ghost corporation.
Yeah. It just runs itself.
Yeah, it just runs all by itself.
Yeah. There's nobody behind it.
There's nobody behind it.
Yeah.
It's like, don't look at those.
Too big to fail.
Don't look at those lines of trees in the forest. Mm. They're not, there's no pattern.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving right along. That's a good one, Bob. We'll play that next. We probably should go to a break.
Well, I don't know if Bill Gates actually owns it, but he's got big shares in it.
It's funny how it comes back from the same players.
I'm just saying,
it's always J.P. Morgan, you know, Bill Gates, Goldman Sachs.
You mean Bill Gates that I've been researching that owns a firm called TerraPower that is building thorium fluoride reactors and is involved in the thorium land grab also in eastern Oregon out by Burns?
Yeah. Is that Bill Gates? Yeah.
There's no conspiracy here.
None. Like I said, I don't know if he owns it, but he's definitely involved with Monsanto. So,
Yeah, look up Bill Gates and the seed bank in Svalbard. Yeah, I know. It sounds like some bad Robert Ludlum novel.
Svalbard?
Svalbard, yeah.
And he's also the one that's in charge of the computers for the educational system for our children, right?
Yeah.
Is that the same one?
That guy.
Oh.
Bill Common Core Gates.
Yeah. Oh, I feel better now.
Yep.
Well, let's...
He's also a depopulist.
Let's go to a break. Let's go to a break. And then we'll come back and we'll... Talk some more.
Yeah. If you have a question or comment, give us a call at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
And loving the cowboy ways, pursuing the life of my high-riding heroes. I burned up my childhood days. Learned all the rules of a modern day drifter. Don't you hold on to nothing too long. Just take what you need from the ladies that lead them with the words of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys. Still are, it seems, sadly in search of, and one step in back of themselves and their slow moving dream.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
How about some traditional Mexican food for Second Tuesday dinner in March, Abby?
I love authentic Mexican food. We must be going to Mazatlan Grill.
That's right. With their welcoming, friendly staff and fiesta-like atmosphere, you can start with tableside guacamole made to your liking and sizzling fajitas and so much more to choose from.
Please join us on Tuesday, March 8th at Mazatlan Grill as they graciously donate a portion of the proceeds to Haven Humane Society to help them care for the stray, abused, and unwanted animals as they look to place them in loving homes.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, groceries, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocer. Mighty Fine, 299 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at megastarfinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 3043.
Dandelion. Unique gifts and clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
This is Carl Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Friday, my co-host, Gary Hayward from Wind River, will welcome Shasta County Sheriff Tom Basenko. Let's find out the latest on what's happening with crime, AB 109, concealed carry, and gun rights up here in Shasta County. This and much more right here Friday. KCNR 1460, Free Fire Radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Xanadu, that's what we're living in. Xanadu. Yeah, Xanadu-do.
Back when spandex looked good.
No comment.
Yeah, you know, when Red Smith says spandex, that doesn't... I'm telling you, it's not a, this is not
the
a
good... The visual is not good.
This is not a good omen. we're going to queue up a little deal here for Jimmy Kimmel, and this was on, I caught this morning, and let's listen to this, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about Monsanto and their connections, and their the conspiracy that never was. So go ahead, Bob, let's talk about these voters from North Korea. You know, they're... Are these people, you know, he did a little survey from the college kids down south, I guess, about North Korea getting the bomb, and this was the... This was the net effect here.
I think that the idea that North Korea might have a hydrogen bomb would be somewhat alarming to those of us who are here on the West Coast. But we went out on the street today, and it seems like if you ask people a question in a cheerful enough manner, we Americans will offer congratulations for just about anything.
North Korea announced that they finally were able to successfully detonate a hydrogen bomb. The world is excited. People are sending their congratulations.
That's really good.
Yeah, would you like to congratulate North Korea?
Congratulations, North Korea. Finally. I mean, it's about time, you know?
Would you like to say congratulations to North Korea? Any words of encouragement for them?
You know, I think if you do believe that one day you can, dreams can come true, I think. So it's definitely a Disney, you know, thing to do.
Would you say this is a great example of if you can dream it, you can achieve it?
For sure. If you can, if you believe you can do it, then you can achieve it.
And North Korea has done that with the hydrogen bomb.
Then that's good for them.
Yeah, you know, you just got to stick to your dreams and, you know, anything can come true. Yeah, so, you know, we see they stuck to it.
Especially with North Korea and its hydrogen bomb.
Yeah.
Everyone's so excited for them. They're sending their congratulations. Would you like to congratulate North Korea?
Congratulations, North Korea.
Awesome.
Congratulations, Kim Jong-un, on everything you've done. You've done a really good job. Keep it up. Stay safe. Good work.
Congratulations on achieving your dream, North Korea.
Congratulations, North Korea. That's a high five.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Kimmel. Thanks for watching. It means a lot to me. And if you'd like to take our relationship to the next level, click the subscribe button below. I'll wait for you.
Yeah, I like the one. Congratulations on all the good stuff you've done there, Kim Jong-un. So she even knows the guy's name, which is even more frightening.
That's scary.
The fact that, oh, yeah, when you're vaporized into a puff of smoke, I guess you won't be congratulating anybody. And do these people actually vote? Are these voters? Are they registered to vote?
I'm sure they are. That's
yes,
even
Mark,
scarier.
This is how Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton continue to show any kind of movement in the polls.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they don't even I think that they should all be foreign exchange students to North Korea for about a year.
Ooh, maybe they could go watch Kim Jong-un throw his uncle in front of the anti-aircraft guns and vaporize him.
Yeah.
Or that other guy that he fed to 100 hungry dogs.
Well, you know, if they make it back within the year, okay, because there's only one penalty in North Korea. I don't know if anybody knows that. You know,
once you went and spent a year in the workers' paradise, why would you want to leave?
Well, you know, first of all, because it's a great place to lose weight.
It is.
It's a great place to lose weight.
And it's a good place to disconnect from the Internet.
Yeah, and, you know, they have a regular routine sleeping hours. You get up when you're told, you go to sleep when you're told, you eat what you're told, you eat when you're told, and you eat.
And it's all free.
Maybe you don't get to eat because
free.
You're told that there's nothing to eat. And so, yeah.
It's equal. You don't have anything to eat just like everybody else. It's a liberal paradise.
Hey, those kids understand that as long as we in this country have Dennis Rodman, Kim Jong-un will leave us alone.
We sent our ambassador, the worm, to take care of things in North Korea.
We should have sent him in his wedding dress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Carmen Electra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
There's some mental giantry there. I mean, that's...
Carmen Electra is a national treasure.
I like Carmen Electra. I don't get her relationship with the worm.
Maybe that name has more than one meaning.
I think it means that he worms around on the court.
Yeah.
And he's a great rebounder.
Yeah. He was a great rebounder.
He was a great rebounder. I love
Which is how I think he caught Carmen Electra. She was on the rebound.
Not too smart, though, going to North Korea. You know, if you ever seen those clips, go back there and watch the clips. You know, you can see all those buddies that are in the back. It's like they knew they were in over their heads. They're like, you can see they look like...
Oh, the other NBA players.
Oh, yeah. They're like, shut up, stupid.
what did you get us into?
Yeah, exactly.
We're getting shot.
Yeah, this is like Gitmo, only different.
All right. It's like Gitmo without the soccer field.
Yes, yeah, Gitmo. Only they've. It's like Gitmo, only bigger. It's instead of a little island, it's like a peninsula.
Big.
It's a peninsula. It's a whole peninsula.
Liberal paradise.
That's right. And then it expands into China. Here's a little thing that I guess the news media missed. And let's get back to this Monsanto thing. China harvesting organs from thousands of political prisoners while they're alive. And, you know, this is from the anti-media, John Vives, February 6, 2016. According to Newsweek, well-respected investigators from all over the world agree that thousands of people... Okay, so Newsweek, they're respected, aren't they? Investigators from all over the world agree that thousands of people have had their organs forcefully extracted without anesthetic while held in Chinese prisons. Many of the victims belong to a banned religious group called Falun Gong, a forbidden through peaceful Chinese religion. So it's a peaceful Chinese religion created in 1992. Isn't that right about Tiananmen Square? When did Tiananmen Square happen?
It's right about then. No, Tiananmen Square was 89. Yeah.
Close enough, 3 years.
Yeah.
Members continue to face constant discrimination. I think that harvesting your organs without anesthetic is a little more than constant discrimination.
Well, why does the media have to radicalize everything? I mean, forcefully removing people's organs. It's simply payment in lieu of taxes. I mean, call it what it really is.
Well, the Chinese government countered with the fact that they have never harvested any organs from prisoners against their will and that all the donations are voluntary.
See?
Sure.
Just like
what's
taxes.
What's the problem? Yeah.
Yeah. Taxes are voluntary.
Yeah.
If you don't, we're going to shoot you and put you in jail. Or we just shoot you like they do in Oregon now when you say anything about the federal government.
Or put you in prison for life.
It's actually more profitable to be selling rocket launchers to terrorists in the Philippines than
That's right, because if you're, what's his name, Yi?
Yeah, Leland Yi.
Leland Yi.
Free Yi.
Free Yi. Yeah, he only gets 5 years for selling rocket launchers. And the height of hypocrisy, he was one of the big gun control advocates down there. This guy should, now, if there was a...
He got 300,000 votes sitting in prison.
I'm thinking they should harvest this guy's organs and start with his freaking brain. Okay? So that's the deal. But let's go back to Monsanto.
Him and Shrimp Boy Chow.
Shrimp Boy Chow. Who names their kid Shrimp Boy?
Cabin Mr. Boy? And Mrs. Shrimp?
Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Shrimp. Cabin Boy?
Yeah.
I don't know. So absolutely no conspiratorial connections with Monsanto. Who does Monsanto own?
Well, on the board of directors, we have people that are from Procter & Gamble. We have McDonald's, somebody that used to work for the McDonald's Corporation. We have Colgate-Palmolive, Lockheed Martin. That's just the name and a few of them.
And so.
Yeah, that would be the corporations that own the massive corporation that owns the other massive corporation.
Yeah. Sara Lee. I mean, there's so many of them.
You mean at the end of the day, all of these big corporations really are one?
I'm thinking so.
No.
In the house that Saul built?
Yeah.
No. Couldn't be.
Then they wouldn't have an agenda here.
I can't hang out with you guys anymore. Yeah. You guys are nuts.
What's that old poem about he had a crooked house and a crooked life? I don't know.
You know, and Bill Gates said that, you know, we have to have the GMO product for starvation so people don't starve.
Well, we don't want to label our food either.
Yeah.
You know, because then we might choose not to eat it.
or know that it's been watered with... reclaimed wastewater from fracking.
We want to send our chickens to China so that they can reconstitute them over there and send them back because it's cheaper on the process. In the meantime, they're harvesting organs in China, and that's okay.
Well, we have too many laws here where, you know, the food has to be clean. You know, you can preserve it a lot longer if you inject it with things like lead and mercury and stuff like that.
The shelf life
is way longer.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Is there a point here?
No, I'm just pointing that out.
Well, I saw an article the other day where a guy left his Happy Meal, a chicken nugget Happy Meal, and he actually forgot about it, and it fell behind his file cabinet.
And it was still fresh.
And, you know, when he opened it up, he found it like 6 or 8 years later, and it looked exactly the same.
Yeah.
It didn't. There was no mold,
Yeah, Twinkies are like that, too, all that kind of
stuff. It's almost like Egyptian honey. You know, you can go to the pyramids 10,000 years later and open up a jar of Egyptian honey and it's still good to eat. Only, I'm not...
Only it's not. Like
only, yeah. The difference is the Egyptian honey won't kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that stuff, I mean, the bugs don't even like it. I mean, what's that tell you? The bugs don't even go after it, you know?
Well, they're, you know, if there's a little ring of dead, you know...
ants or beetles or something.
Yeah, it's not, they're not, it's not because they're worshiping the food. So, with that, we do have 9 minutes here of Chris Ann Hall. Let's play this, and then we'll talk about this, and then we'll have our guest on at 10, and we'll go from there.
All right. Are we going to go to a break first, Bob, or are we going to just go right into Chris Ann?
We can do whichever you want. We can go to Chris Ann right now.
Play Chris.
Let's play Chris Ann.
This is called What's Really Going On in Oregon, Taking Back the Narrative.
And this ties into the coming Siskiyou Monument and the terrifying scope of that.
Right.
Okay, here we go.
I'm Chris Ann Hall. I'm a constitutional attorney, author, educator, and talk show host. Let's talk about Oregon. Because it's not about the Hammonds. It's not about the Bundys. And it's time to take back the narrative. It's time to stop being directed and led by the media. It is time to stop being directed and led by the federal government's whims. It's time to know the facts. This is not about the Hammonds. This is not about the Bundys. This is about a federal government that is operating outside the supreme law of the land. The people are not acting lawlessly. It is the federal government that's acting lawlessly. The federal government has no authority to own any land outside Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 says that the federal government's only authority to own land is 10 square miles for Washington, D.C., and the amount of land necessary to operate forts and ports at the permission of the states. So if the states don't want the forts and ports anymore, they have the authority to withdraw the permission. The only other section that someone could claim is Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2, that deals with territories and then further expounds on the application of the ownership of land that we talked about in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17. Let's be very clear about this territories thing. Go read the Constitution. Territory is capitalized. This is a proper noun with a specific meaning, and the federal government owns no territory within the continental U.S. Territory is not even land that the government owns. Territory is land that the government holds in trust for the states. Once a state petitions to become a state and a member of the Union, that is no longer a territory, and the federal government has no authority over it. You see, once a state petitions and becomes a member of the Union as a state, it is an independent, free, and sovereign government. It's called the Equal Footing Doctrine, and even the Supreme Court of the United States upholds this doctrine. It says that every state that enters the Union enters on the same footing as the first 13. Go read the Declaration of Independence. You'll see what that footing is. Independent, free, and sovereign. You cannot be a territory and be sovereign. You cannot be a state and still be a territory. The federal government has no lawful control over any land in the states outside forts and ports and 10 square miles for Washington, D.C. Show me in the Constitution the authority for the Bureau of Land Management. I challenge you to show me because you cannot. There is no authority for the federal government to dictate to the states or the people how they operate their land. Do not recite to me executive order. There is no phone or pen big enough to alter the Constitution. Do not cite to me congressional act. Congress cannot pass laws to alter the Constitution outside Article 5 amendment process. Article 6, Section 2, Clause 2 says that no law made by Congress contrary to the Constitution is valid. Alexander Hamilton said the same thing in Federalist Papers 33. No law contrary, no law outside the Constitution is a valid law at all. The Bureau of Land Management, the federal government controlling our land, is a law that is lawless. It is outside the Constitution. Do not tell me the Supreme Court said this or that, because the Supreme Court does not have the constitutional authority to expand the power of the federal government or create new powers. That is not the role of the Supreme Court. They don't even have the authority to be the ultimate arbiters of the Constitution. James Madison, the father of the Constitution, tells us in 1798, as he's arguing before the ratification of the Constitution, hey, the Supreme Court of the United States is not above the states. The Supreme Court of the United States cannot make law. The Supreme Court of the United States is not the ultimate arbiter of the Constitution. James Madison so very clearly explains that the ultimate arbiters of the Constitution are the states themselves. They are the creators of the contract. They are the drafters of the contract. They are the people, the ones who actually ratified the contract creating the federal government. The states are the creators of the federal government. They are the controllers of the federal government. It is time for us to understand the proper role and function of our government. Do not tell me Marbury versus Madison. That is circular logic. The Supreme Court cannot create an opinion that expands its own power. When the Supreme Court is the ultimate arbiter of its own power and its own authority, that is not a constitutional republic created by the people. That is an oligarchy where the power rests within the government itself. James Madison said, when the government controls the property of the people, that is not a just government. We need to realize that this is a constitutional republic, government instituted among men, deriving its just power from the consents of the governed. If the federal government is not defined by the Constitution, why do we even have one? If the federal government is not limited in its power by the Constitution, then what is the limit of the federal government's power? If the federal government can dictate to the people and to the states how and when they can use their land, you are not a freeman. Freemen have control over their property. And when government dictates how you operate your property, the only thing missing in servitude are the physical chains. This is not about the Bundys. This is not about the Hammonds. This is about maintaining the integrity of the Constitution. This is about defending the Constitutional Republic. This is about making a defined and limited federal government that is under the power of the people in the states. So it's up to us to decide. Do we get led by the nose of the media narrative? Do we get controlled by the oligarchical power of the federal government? Or do we declare ourselves freemen? As our Constitution says, government instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. It is time to know the facts. It is time to stand for the truth. It is not about a person. It is not about people. It is about liberty. It is about power of the people. And it is about a limited and defined government. So I ask you today, what do you want? Do you want a constitutional republic where the people control the government, where the states are independent and sovereign? Or do you want a totalitarian oligarchy where a federal government decides what power it can have and it can own and how it can use that power with a pen and a phone or a law? Do we want an unlimited federal government? Or do we want to stand for what's right? Do we want to stand for what's true? I don't care what your politicians say. I don't care what your favorite presidential candidate says. The Constitution is the foundation of America. And if the federal government can set that aside, there is no limit on it at all. It's time, America. It is time to defend the republic. And it is time to put the federal government back in its limited and defined box. That will only happen when the people know the truth. It's time to make that decision. If the people wish to be ignorant and free, we shouldn't wish for what never was and what never will be. Understand, we are the holders of the power. We are the owners of our property. And when a government dictates property, We are nothing. We are nothing but tributary slaves.
Yeah, there you have it. You know, people need to understand this. You know, this walking around with their heads in the clouds thinking that everything's okay and we're in recovery and, you know, whatever the media tells us the mainstream narrative is. Oh, it's all good. You know, one of them that we were talking about is this natural-born citizen stuff. Oh, what does it matter that they're natural-born citizens? Well, what matters is, are they following the Constitution? Just like, why does it matter that the BLM's taken over the land? Because at some point in time, property is freedom. If the federal government owns all the property, and the banks own all the property, and the banks own the federal government, you're not free anymore. Is that just conspiratorial? Oh, I suppose, but I guess that if you want to pick and choose the Constitution and pick and choose which part of it you want to follow, and are we getting the truth on the birther thing? Is Ted Cruz eligible for president? Not according to a litigation attorney that I've got going on here. We can play the clip. But that also disqualifies Barack Obama. Why is that important?
And Marco Rubio.
And Marco.
And Bernie Sanders. His dad was from Poland.
It's all after the fact. Oh, it doesn't really matter. I don't know why the case on this. Because either the Constitution is the law of the land or it's not.
You don't get to pick and choose what part of it or when you want to use it.
If it's proven that what a natural-born citizen is two parents that are Americans, and it doesn't matter where you were born, because your allegiance is to your parents' place of birth. Okay? That's the question. And if that's what the Constitution said, and you go back to the founders, and if that's what it said was the criteria,
right,
and we're just ignoring that for political expedience or because, have they lied to us up there in the media before? Has the government been straightforward? Have they vetted all of our guys? Did they lie about Barack Obama getting in the office?
Well, they didn't even vet him.
They're still lying about
does it matter does it matter whether he qualifies under the natural Constitution or the natural citizen standard under the Constitution or not? If it doesn't matter and you're going to just say throw it out, fine. But then get off the illusion that we're following the Constitution. If you're going to say that the Constitution is the law of the land, but you're going to let Monsanto run wild and get bailed out by the federal government, or if the Constitution is the law of the land and BLM can just take over any property that they want. Okay, I guess I'm getting a little loud, huh?
No, they're saying like you're talking
in
a barrel. In
a barrel, you might be a little close to your mic.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
You're echoing.
Okay, so I got Wendy says the Constitution did not say that. I'm not sure what that means. The Constitution did not say what?
About the natural born citizenship? I'm not sure.
Well, it does.
It actually determines exactly what qualifications that you have to meet to be
two parents.
Yeah, to be president.
See, it says
a representative. It's actually laid out very clearly.
Absolutely, it says natural born citizenship is two parents, and you have to go back to what the founding fathers. And I'll play the clip from the attorney, very well researched, that they followed Vattel's Law of Nations.
And there was a lot of reason. Yeah, there was a lot of reason that they put that in the Constitution because where they came from, they knew what would happen if they did not place it in the Constitution.
Well, there was very direct fear at the time of a foreign national coming here and becoming president and altering everything.
Wow, right. Just like what? Weird? Yeah. Does that sound like now?
Yeah, that's, you know, absolutely what it was there for was to protect it. Is, you know, otherwise you can have a foreign national Muslim terrorist running amok in the White House.
Right.
I mean,
like now?
Yeah. And as you were saying, the point is not whether you like that as a law or whether you agree with it as a law. It is the law.
Right.
If you don't like the law, then to change it, you have to have a constitutional amendment that's ratified by two-thirds of the states.
And if you don't believe what I'm saying is true, then do your homework and prove it not to be true. Because we get all these bomb throwers that are shooting from the hip that don't do their homework. I've looked at the letter from Benjamin Franklin when they talked about it. I've looked at Vattel's Law of Nations. I went to the college transcripts at William and Mary when they taught the Constitution and showed what the criteria was. We're just not following it. Now, let's quit pretending that, you know, well, we can say, what is a natural-born citizen? Oh, it's just anybody born in the United States. Well, then there is no natural-born citizen at all. They're just citizens.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter whether you like Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio or Bernie Sanders. It doesn't matter. The law of the land has to be the law of the land. It's not, oh, I've got a problem with the law being violated because that guy's doing it, but when my guy breaks the law, it's okay.
It's okay.
The law has to be the law, and it has to be equally applied to everybody.
And all I'm saying is, why aren't we, you know, if this is the law of the land, how can nobody challenge it?
And stay tuned with us. We're coming into our second hour after the break. This has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Stay tuned for Hour 2 of Sovereign Minds here at KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Republicans are stumping hard in the run-up to this week's Super Tuesday primaries. Donald Trump in Tennessee.
Our country is in trouble. Our jobs are a disaster. Our real number is 25%, not 5%. When you look for a job and can't get it, you quit, you look, you go home, you stay home with your wife or your husband.
Ted Cruz is thinking about Trump.
There is no doubt that if Donald steamrolls through Super Tuesday, wins everywhere with big margins, that he may well be unstoppable.
Voters in 12 states go to the ballots on Tuesday. Polls show Trump leading in many of those places, with Cruz and Marco Rubio fighting for second place. Cruz's home state, Texas, will vote on Tuesday. A computer security breach at a major California university.
Officials at University of California, Berkeley say hackers broke into a computer system holding financial data of 80,000 students, alumni, current and former employees. The school says there's no evidence any information was stolen, and it's notified potential victims of the breach so they can watch for signs of possible misuse of their personal data. Berkeley was in the middle of patching a security flaw in the financial management system when the intrusion occurred in December. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
An Army staff sergeant assigned to the Pentagon has been arrested in the death of a Virginia police officer and another person during a domestic dispute Saturday. Ronald Hamilton is being held without bond on charges that include murder of a law enforcement officer. Two other policemen were wounded. Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard says she is resigning from the Democratic National Committee to support Bernie Sanders for president. The Hawaii Democrat appeared today on NBC-TV's Meet the Press program. She says that she trusts Sanders, and her endorsement comes the day after he lost to Hillary Clinton, big with South Carolina Democrats. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-423-4557. That's 1-800-423-4557. 1-800-423-4557. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors not available in all states.
Senator Charles Schumer wants to require the FAA to establish seat size standards for commercial airlines, which he says now force passengers to sit on planes, quote, like sardines. The New York Democrat accuses the airlines of slowly cutting down legroom and seat width. He says he will add an amendment to the FAA reauthorization bill that's pending before Congress. It would require the agency set the seat size guidelines. Currently, there are no federal limits on how close an airline's rows of seats can be or how wide the seat itself has to be. Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors clinched an NBA playoff spot with a victory last night. In more than 6 weeks to spare, the defending champs wrapped up the berth with the help of the Houston Rockets losing to San Antonio. That assures the Warriors will finish amongst the top eight teams in the Western Conference. They're the first team since the 1987-88 LA Lakers to secure a trip so early. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. A setback for the rights of so-called transgender athletes in the Lone Star State, Bob Agnew reports.
School superintendents in Texas have overwhelmingly approved a change that requires public school officials to use a birth certificate to determine a student's athletic gender. A referendum ballot submitted to superintendents last month shows that they voted 586 to 32 to amend the University Interscholastic League rules when it comes to transgender athletes. Transgender advocates condemn the move. They say it will now force transgender students to amend their birth certificate if they want to play. Bob Agnew reporting.
Today is Sunday, February the 28th, the 59th day of 2016. Not the last day of the month, by the way. This is leap year. We'll get one more February day tomorrow. On this date in history, 1953, scientists James Watson and Francis Crick announced they discovered the double-helix structure of DNA, the molecule containing the human genes. More on these stories at townhall.com.
While most of Shasta County still has hours before their day begins, the bakery staff at Orchard Nutrition Center is wide awake and beginning their day. Each morning, they arise well before the dawn to start about their task of creating fresh, wholesome, nutritious baked items. Why do we do what we do? Sabrina, the Orchard Nutrition Center bakery manager, has been the culinary heartbeat of the bakery department since 2003. Sabrina, along with bakery clerk Kathleen, used the freshest ingredients available to create a variety of freshly baked breads, muffins, cookies, scones, and an abundance of baked gluten-free and vegan items every day. Great detail is taken to ensure that every item meets the strict Orchard Nutrition Center guidelines for taste, nutrition, and freshness. At Orchard Nutrition Center, our staff is like family, and our customers are our friends who come back again and again because we truly believe we're all in this together. We love seeing the smiles on our customers' faces. So when people ask, why do we do what we do? That's why. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store.
Welcome to Wellgate Sports Club. I'm Deanne Lawrence, your membership director. Every member of the Wellgate team have raised the bar to ensure that you, as a valued member, will experience high-end amenities and a quality of service that exceeds fitness industry standards. At Wellgate Sports Club, we understand that each member has unique fitness and lifestyle goals.
Hi, I'm Tina Brandt, Team Training Director. Wellgate Sports Club has implemented several small group training programs, including our popular saltwater aquatic group training, and now the TNT program, which offers the expertise and direction of a certified personal trainer without the expense of one-on-one personal training. All Wellgate Sports Club trainers are credentialed, experienced professionals who are committed to our members achieving their health and fitness goals. To inquire about Wellgate's small group training programs, please contact the Wellgate Fitness Director at 530-768-1205. Wellgate Sports Club, where you will experience exceptional every day.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Thank you so much. I'll talk first about natural-born citizen. Before July the 4th, 1776, everybody born here was born a subject of the King of England. So our first presidents, George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, James Monroe, John Quincy Adams, Andrew Jackson, and William Henry Harrison, who were all born before July the 4th, 1776, were all born as subjects of the King of England. These presidents, along with other free Americans, were transformed into citizens on July the 4th, 1776, by means of our Declaration of Independence. So our first presidents were naturalized citizens, and the Declaration of Independence is the act which naturalized them. Now let's look at our Constitution. It was ratified June the 21st, 1788. Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 says, and I'll read just the first phrase, no person except a natural-born citizen or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of this Constitution shall be eligible to the office of president. So our first presidents were eligible because they were citizens at the time the Constitution was ratified. The framers knew what a natural-born citizen was, and they knew they weren't natural-born citizens. So they had to exempt them, their generation, from the requirement of being a natural-born citizen. But after that first generation of presidents was gone, all subsequent presidents were required to be natural-born citizens. So what is a natural-born citizen? In order to understand the genuine meaning of a text, we must use the definition the framers use. Otherwise, texts become like Play-Doh. They mean whatever you want them to mean to get the outcome you want. And Congress could change the definition of terms in the Constitution from time to time by passing a law. Well, that's ridiculous. When our Constitution was drafted and ratified, everybody knew what a natural-born citizen was. Vattel defined it in his book, Law of Nations. And we know from correspondence from Benjamin Franklin and other sources that the delegates to the convention of 1787, where this was drafted, relied on Vattel's book. It was a classic, studied in the universities, and everybody knew it. Vattel said that natural-born citizens are those born of parents who are citizens. It is necessary that they be born of a father who is a citizen. He goes on to say that the place of birth is not significant because it is our extraction, who our parents were, which gives us our rights as natural-born citizens. I printed out what Vattel said. It's 2 pages. Contact me, and I'll send you the link to this. Our framers were very concerned about foreign influence. They did not want foreigners with shared loyalty to be president. They wanted only natural-born citizens to be president, people who inherited their citizenship from American parents. Another document from the time of our framing is David Ramsay's 1789 dissertation on citizenship. Ramsay was an historian, a founding father, and a member of the Continental Congress. His dissertation on the manner of acquiring the character and privileges of a citizen of the United States was published in 1789. At the bottom of page 6, Ramsay says, quote, "The citizenship of no man could be previous to the Declaration of Independence, and as a natural right belongs to none but those who have been born of citizens since the 4th of July, 1776. So Ramsay sets forth the understanding of the time that a natural-born citizen is one who is born of citizens. So a natural-born citizen inherits his citizenship from his parents. Just as he inherits his eye color, he inherits his citizenship. No provision in the Constitution makes him a citizen, and no act of Congress makes him a citizen. just as no provision in the Constitution or Act of Congress determines his eye color. It's inherited from his parents. It's in his blood, not an act of Congress.
I think that's enough. I think that we'll do a little more homework on this, but that is a leading litigation attorney, and it seems like there's a problem with some of the stuff going forward. I don't have a dog in the hunt, so don't get me wrong.
That's why there's a delineation of separate terms. That's why there's two definitions between natural-born citizen and a naturalized citizen.
Absolutely, and just a plain citizen.
Yeah.
Okay. So you know, what it is that we're going to do more on this, but, we've got to look to this because, like I say, I got no dog in the hunt. I just want to know what the law is. I want to know what the law says. If the Constitution says this, fine. If it says this and we're not following it, then this is just another chip away at the constitutional armor.
That's the important thing. What does the Constitution say? And it needs to be followed across the board no matter who you are.
So for all you guys that say the birther issue, what does it matter? Okay. It does matter because you either have a rule of law or you don't. Either the Constitution is the law of the land or it's not. Okay, and if this is what the Constitution says a natural citizen is, by all the framers, by what their intent was, has anything changed it since then? Has an act of Congress? It can't be changed by an act of Congress, remember? You have to amend the Constitution, and in order to do that, you have to have a constitutional convention. So the real deal is, we have been smoke and mirrors on this issue for several reasons, whatever they may be, because that's the only way Obama could have got elected. So now we've set a precedent, and we're just going to continue to circumvent the law, right?
Which is the exact reason we get hit in the head repeatedly by everybody, is because we are not partisan on the law. The law cannot be partisan. It has to be fair, equal, and exercised as the law every time in every instance.
Yep.
It doesn't matter whether you like the guy that's breaking the law or you hate the guy that's breaking the law. The law has to be the law and equally applied, or there is no rule of law and society breaks down.
Yeah, that's it. So if we're either going to have a rule of law or not, because that was the whole thing on the field of Runnymede when they signed the Magna Carta. Is the king the law or is the law the king? Rex lex or lex or rex lex? In other words, does the king make the law and he's not subject to it, or is he the king subject to the law just like everybody else? And is the law applied equally among all of the citizens? And we don't have a king, do we? Well, maybe we do. So with that, let's either go to a break or
let's
go to
a break, and then we'll come back. Is our guest on the line, Bob?
He is on the line, yes.
All right, we'll go to a quick break and come back with our guest. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
It's the Ron Largent Show, talking about Reading. Our great community sponsors are Russell Cleaning Service, the Shasta Athletic Club, Zach Bay State Farm Insurance, Revolve Solar, Gold Star Mortgage, Trinity Termite, Chronic Service Master, and Authority Property Management. Great community members every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock to hear what's going on. Many interesting topics. Our goal is to inform. So tune in each Saturday at 9 to keep informed. The Ron Largent Show. It's the happening place.
Dandelion. Unique Gifts and Clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Reading Yellow Cab and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Reading Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Reading Yellow Cab and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
steel-cut oats in the morning from exercising.
I don't know. This fight's put some gray hairs in my beard.
We'll talk about some of this other stuff more on this natural born thing, but it is an interesting subject, and it needs to be talked about, not just swept under the rug like most of the people who don't want to do the homework want to. So,
well,
you know,
we need some clarification.
Or get it clarified.
Get it clarified.
Is it the law of the land or not? Are we going to, you know, if that's the law of the land, then why aren't we following it? Is there some agenda here that some foreign national might become president and completely change our country? You know, what was the famous line? I'm going to get completely, you know, that was the only thing I can think of that Obama actually did was completely change the country.
Repeatedly. Yeah.
And he hasn't stopped.
So with that, I believe we have our guest on the line, and I know I'm going to screw it up.
It's Tom Del Beccaro.
There you go.
It is Beccaro.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay, we got it now.
I had a gym teacher who was named Becerra, and it was actually spelled very similar. That's why I knew. So Tom Beccaro, you're running for the empty seat. Barbara Boxer's empty seat, and I'm not exactly sure because I don't remember, and I've been, you know, so many different things going on right now. Who's running against you? I'm pretty sure it's some left wing bomb thrower.
It is. So people can go to tomdell.com and find out more. But I'm running for the United States Senate seat. Kamala Harris is my main opponent. She's the attorney general now who isn't doing her job and enforcing the law. There's also Loretta Sanchez down in Orange County, and there is a very liberal Republican running as well.
Wow.
That would be Sondheim.
Duff Sondheim, who refuses to take the No New Tax pledge, who's for Medi-Cal for illegals, who's against a flat tax, and
Duff
really
man.
Won't provide voters with the choice they need this fall. I will.
Yeah, he wasn't too big on the concealed carry at all either. I mean, we had him at the Tea Party, excuse me, and he was, you know, sitting there amongst a bunch of card-carrying, guys who were
Second Amendment,
yeah,
people.
Guys who were carrying a lot more than cards, you know, and said that he was not for that. So, what's your stance
on
that?
He said he was against concealed carry.
Yes. Absolutely, yeah, and he almost got booed out of there. People actually got up and leave. I felt kind of embarrassed because of the way that some people took that offense to that.
We know that at Appomattox, when the Southern officers were surrendering, they were required to give their long rifles, but they were permitted to leave with their sidearms because that's how much the North even then believed in the Second Amendment.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think that there should be any restrictions at all. I mean, it's kind of been proven at this point in my book, in my humble opinion, and in all the data and facts that I've seen, that the more weapons that you have out there, the safer that society actually becomes, as long as they're in the hands of the legal, law-abiding citizens, as opposed to the guys that are going to have them anyway because they don't follow the law.
Well, you know, I'll be at the Reading Tea Party this coming Monday, right, at the Destiny Fellowship Church at, what is it, at
2570.
Yeah, 2570 South Bonneview.
Two on many on the left, and which is the view that you go after gun ownership in order to reduce the Chicago. Or you can do what Rudy Giuliani did in New York, which is target crime, and when you reduce crime, lo and behold, you reduce gun crime, because it's criminals committing crimes that tend to use guns in crimes. And so what Giuliani did was concentrate on the reduction in crime, and therefore in New York you saw a reduction in gun crime. There is no evidence, though, that if you go after gun owners overall, that that results in a reduction in crime or in reduction in gun crime. So I obviously support the Second Amendment, and I obviously support Rudy Giuliani's methodology, not the destruction that's occurring in Chicago.
Well, because I don't think that the issue for the left, if you will, or the progressives or the socialists, I don't think their agenda is to reduce crime in the first place. Their agenda is to get guns out of the people's hands, because then basically you have zero protection against your own government.
And, of course, that was the concern of some of the founders. I heard you talking about that earlier. I also, you know, I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I've found over time that a lot of the liberals who are against, who think that this is a practical solution, are people who don't have guns. And they see on the news that there's guns are a part of crimes, and they just immediately say, okay, therefore people with guns commit crime. It's not fathomable to them that there can be law-abiding citizens that practice gun safety, that, you know, train themselves. None of this is completely foreign to them. So they immediately jump to the notion that, okay, well, if we want to stop gun crimes, and then you got to take away guns. And it's completely false. But, you know, just to give you an example, when I first announced, I was at CBS Studios in San Francisco, and I had just talked about the need for a comprehensive water plan for the state to increase supply of water instead of what Jerry Brown was doing. As I was walking away, the person escorting me out said, well, why do people need to have lawns? I mean, just think about that. Why do people have front yards where their kids play? But because they live in the city and they're so disconnected from other aspects of life, they can't imagine that somebody would want a yard.
Well, that reminds me to one young lady that we ran into with the State of Jefferson movement. And she said, I don't understand why these farmers have such issues with what's going on. Why can't they just go to the grocery store and buy their food like everybody else?
Well, let's go with Karen Bass, who used to be the assembly leader in California, was taken by her friend, former colleague, Nicole Parra. Karen Bass is in Congress today, is from Central LA, and she was given a tour of the Central Valley, and she saw a lettuce field, and she said, like, out loud, whoa, that's where lettuce comes from. So, as you were saying, she thinks, what, it came from a store that Safeway grows it in the back?
3D printer. Yeah.
So there is this disconnect. Overall, I'm running for the United States Senate because I'm furthering and advancing ideas that I've been working on for a long time, one of which is tax simplification. I'm the only U.S. Senate candidate in America with his own flat tax, and we need it because we need to restore economic growth. We need it because with economic growth, you can reduce this class warfare of the Democrats blaming one part of society for the economic ills of another. And we need it because we need to take away the power of the IRS. IRS is a destructive element these days. For those reasons, I'm the only proponent of a flat tax in this race in California.
Let me throw a little mix into that for you to think about. I don't think a flat tax will work. Now, don't get me wrong. Hear me out here. Okay, the founding fathers believed no direct taxes, and they had to change the Constitution to get the direct taxes. And the problem with a direct tax is, can you tax a business loss? Okay? If you tax a business loss at whatever amount, you can put all the businesses out of business, right? Which means that you have to have business deductions. And if you don't have business deductions, then you are taxing, you know, an amount based on what?
What makes you think we won't have business deductions?
Well, that's my point, okay? I'm for getting rid of the income tax completely and going back to the original model of being apportioned among the states. But
I don't have a problem with that. There is an amendment, however, that exists that has an income tax. And as long as we're going to have it in the short run, we need to have I have the most simplified tax proposal in the country, which is a simple 15.5% net business income tax and an individual tax with no family of four paying tax until it reaches above $48,000 in income. But here's the problem with hoping to get to where you are, or the alternative that some people, a fair tax, which is a national sales tax. Our last constitutional amendment was what? Number 27.
Yeah.
Do you know what year that was introduced as an idea or to get it approved?
Probably the 30s or the 40s.
No, 1789.
Oh, I see.
My point is, I have no problem with working towards the elimination of an income tax, which has always been a highly divisive system. But we need economic recovery right away. We cannot have economic growth. We've reached the 10th year now where we haven't had economic growth above 3%. We cannot function with economic growth at 3%. And the reason why we don't, why it is so low, is because of federal and state and local tax burdens, regulatory burdens, and debt. And everything comes apart if we continue at this pace. You get the Bernie Sanders of the world.
Totally.
And you get insolvency.
Totally agree with you, Tom, on all that. I know you got to get steps in the right direction. And my job here is to, you know, get the issues as clear as possible. So when we talk about that, I see that the income tax is a symptom of the problem because, like you said, part of the problem is debt. And the debt is that we have a private banking institution called the Federal Reserve issuing currency with no backing and charging us interest on our own money. And that's part of the problem with the debt and borrowing and the bonds and the treasuries.
No question. I'm supported in my race by Steve Forbes, Art Laffer, Larry Kudlow, and Stephen Moore. Steve Forbes has the best analogy about how we're debasing our money. He says, imagine if we treated time like we treat money, because we print money, we devalue it, it's never certain what it's worth. He said, imagine if you did that with time. What if tomorrow was 23 hours and the day after was 27? No one would know what was going on. There'd be uncertainty. And he says this, we're doing the same with our money as well.
Well, I just was looking at the United States government just released its 2015 financial statements, and if you go over those, I think we're in for a complete collapse anyway, and I don't think there's anything we can do about it at this point. There's going to be a reset. That doesn't mean that the country's going to collapse as much as our currency is going to collapse based on the fact that these guys have been debasing it, you know, so much. And if we lose the world reserve currency status, to the petrodollar, it's going to go even faster. And that's not something that necessarily you're going to be able to do something about, but are you aware of all that?
Absolutely. In my book, The Divided Era, I talk about the New Conservative Paradigm, The Divided Era. I write for Forbes, and I write about these issues all the time. Yeah, we cannot. We have over $100 trillion in unfunded programs. Nevertheless, we must restore economic growth if we're to avoid the worst of what you're saying. Or what I wrote about, and the only way to do that, we've tried the last 7 years under Obama, every spending mechanism you can imagine, cash for clunkers. They even tried to tell us Obamacare would result in job growth, and the CBO finally admitted the obvious and said it's killing over 2 million jobs. A stimulus program, which the CBO said that would only add to debt in the long run. Americans can bring the economy back. We've done that numerous times throughout our history. The government cannot. So only if government will get out of the way and reduce tax burdens and put in reasonable regulations instead of the EPA mania that we have today. That's what can at least stabilize the economy, reproduce growth in the 4% range, and put us on a better path than you're describing.
I was going to say, we'll talk about that in a second. Give me just a second, Red.
Okay.
What about auditing and eliminating the Federal Reserve and going back to a gold-backed currency of some sort, or get the hands of this bank out of this out of the privacy of the stockholders who don't have our best interest in mind? So with that said, on the Federal Reserve, and I think that is the thing that has to go. Of course, that's going to be a problem getting it through, and I'm not saying that you can do something. And the other is cutting government. Period. Why don't we get rid of the EPA, the BLM, the IRS, the Department of Education? What do you think about that?
Well, as far as auditing the Fed, it is an amazing concept that there are people who suggest out loud we shouldn't know everything that they're doing, because in effect that's what your audit's asking for, is it not? What exactly is the Fed doing with the money that they control and how they do it? how can we not, in this age of the internet, you know, they now publish the salaries of all government employees on and on. There's in some ways greater disclosure. So I don't understand anyone's argument. I don't, you know, many people have different definitions of the term audit. But to me, we should know every aspect of what the Fed is doing and why. As far as the long-term reduction in government, look, government's now spending above 20-something percent of the GDP. I mean, well, it's 36% overall. The federal government alone is 23%. No society can exist very long economically at that level. You know, government's the largest industry in the country today. It spends 36% of all dollars. The federal government spends about 23%. The federal government level needs to get back down around 15 or 16% for us to survive long term. So you have to actually start making real cuts. Obviously, I'm against Common Core. I don't think we need a federal education bureaucracy, a state education bureaucracy, two of them in California, and then a local school board, and then the school. Oh, there is children involved too. So who do you think in that equation gets all the money? So the situation is pretty significant, and there has to be significant long-term adjustments or the country can't survive economically.
And coming
it
back,
will head to Detroit. In other words, we're going to wake up one day and not have enough money, or you'll have intermediate collapses. And in my book, The Divided Era, I talk about the ways to get away from that.
And coming back to economics, what are your thoughts on the destruction of American markets and American protections and the outright loss of American sovereignty under the globalization movement with instruments like the TPP?
So the general principle to remember is that government power always tends to centralize. So Wilson wanted the League of Nations, then we had the UN, and then they wanted the Kyoto Treaty. And there's this constant desire from those that are apparently smarter to us to think that we should think and work in those terms. And sometimes alliances make good sense, like NATO and where we are cooperative. But I am someone who believes in free trade. I know for a fact that if America had reasonable regulations and taxes, that we could outproduce the rest of the world and produce prosperity. Now let's go to TPP. It's 6,000 pages long. The words free trade are two words. So why does it take 6,000 pages and new institutions for America to compete in the world? It doesn't. So I'm not in favor of the existing TPP agreement because you don't need all that. You don't need all these superstructures. You don't. Anytime you set up a complex rubric, someone's going to be on the outside. That's what our tax code's about, 77,000 annotated pages. Who's on the outside of that? Anybody who isn't rich or can't afford a lobbyist or an expensive attorney or accountant. No, government should be neutral in the process, and we've lost that.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're absolutely right. You know, kind of changing the subject here.
Sure.
Let's talk about Kamala Harris and Brown and his rule of law. We talk about rule of law and everybody following it a lot. And we've come across the fact in the past months that Jerry Brown has been setting up to maybe do some exploration of geological type things on his own property out there in Carusa.
How good for him.
What a guy. Using taxpayers' money. Okay.
Yeah.
And our big problem that we've been looking at each other for weeks going, who's going to prosecute these guys? You know, I mean.
Well, it's not Kamala. Remember, Kamala is the entity that built the Bay Bridge or parts of it, is responsible for some of the damages, should also be under investigation. But do you know who is a donor to Kamala Harris? That same company. So Kamala Harris has a record of not She's like Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch.
That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly
she
what I'm talking about.
She's not an honest broker for these kind of things, and she would look. She's spent $3 million on her campaign already and fallen in the polls. Fallen in the polls. It's remarkable. Hmm. So she's not the kind of person who should be in Washington.
How do you overcome that magical letter D behind her name in the state of California?
Well, this is what Republicans need to understand overall, so let me answer in a more general terms, because there's a big difference between me and the other Republican in the race that you mentioned. There are those in control of Republicans in Sacramento now who think that the way you get elected is to be like the Democrats and hope they like you. That has never worked in history. There's no example in history of a voter saying, huh, there's someone who looks like a Democrat. Should I vote for him or the Democrat I already know and trust? It doesn't work that way. The minority party candidate or the minority party becomes the majority party when they offer something better than what the majority party is offering. So the Republican Party was founded because it took a stand and offered something different on slavery. For Republicans in this state, they need to offer something better than the Democrat, and the prosperity issue is there. There's the tax issue, but also the biggest issue in the state today, and I've traveled from stem to stern for 15 years in this state, is what? Water. It matters to everyone. The Democrats want to fine and ration us and keep our population, at least some of them, reduced. And say whether we can take showers or have dams or not. So the Republicans should offer an alternative. And I have a comprehensive water plan that will produce prosperity in this state and offers the voters a choice between rationing and economic growth. And that's how we have to get past her name. It's happened before in 1978 with Howard Jarvis. The Republicans fought Howard Jarvis. But the people spoke, passed Prop 13, eventually elected Ronald Reagan as president, and that's the model we need to use. Not the coddle the politician model, but to go around them and over them model.
Wow. Ah, well, I'll tell you what.
Well, I'd say I'm in complete
agreement. What do you mean,
agreement?
Wow? What was that reaction? Yes or no?
Yeah. Well, I'm in agreement with you on it. I'm just so tired of the cronyism and the.
Well, he does bring up a good point that we suffer up here, especially in the North State, under Republican leadership that seems to think the way to get elected and get by is to act as much like a Democrat as possible.
Well, I mean, and look at the examples that we have. Jim Nielsen, we got La Mafia, and, you know, these guys that never, you know, they talk a good, but it seems to change, and the Democrats still retain control. So with that, let's feather this into the state of Jefferson and the movement to get back the representation into the North State here. You know, whether it's through the state of Jefferson or having the, let's go back to the model that used to be prior to Reynolds versus Sims, where each county had a representative that would then go to the state level and also elect, you know, the 17th Amendment, which is being repealed in Utah, or they're trying to repeal in Utah, so that the senators, the county representatives, elect the federal senators so they actually represent the state. What do you think about all of that?
Well, I mean, if the 17th Amendment didn't exist, would the Democrats in Sacramento choose who the next U.S. senator should be? I think our only hope of getting a Republican U.S. senator is to run against the Democrats.
Well, actually, under a restored Republican model, which is guaranteed in the Constitution under Article 4, Section 4, where each county would have its own state senator, then that would actually vastly change the dynamics in Sacramento.
Well, that's a multiple process. Look, my book is called The Divided Era. And what the book stands for, this historical proposition, that the more government does, the more divided society becomes. So a government that does two things will find two sides to fight over it and someone to pay for it, so a third side. But a government that do $6 trillion worth, and that's where we are today, will find infinite things to fight about. There will be a massive competition for that $6 trillion. There will be a massive competition to be the one to dispense the $6 trillion. And then there is this problem of a stagnant economy and the division that causes. So on the issue that you're describing, so what you talk about the state of Jefferson. You are being, at least my understanding, the reason why the state of Jefferson exists is because, or the movement, and it's been around for a long time, right?
Well, there has been attempts at statehood for a long time.
Yeah.
This movement that's currently going, which is based on the Constitution that allows for a split of the state, is a constitutional process that's been put into place. So it's happened, you know, North and South Dakota and, you know, West Virginia. So this is a different movement than the historical state of Jefferson.
And the primary thrust of the state of Jefferson is the restoral of representation.
So
we suffer under a great amount of voter dilution and really unconstitutional representation. You know, whereas we have 11.
But my point is, it's not at all surprising that the more power government gets, the more it alienates some portion of society and tramples rights. And so I'm not surprised at all. I talk at length in my book about how the states are now fighting back against the federal government.
I think we lost him. Uh-oh.
That was interesting.
Yeah,
I'm sure he'll call back.
Yeah.
Maybe cell phone died or hit a dead spot.
Yeah.
Not sure.
So we want to get this cleared up on this Jefferson State stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So. Hopefully he'll call back.
Well, maybe it's a good time for us to go to a break and regroup. And if you have any questions or comments, give us a call. Number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
My thoughts were cloudy, and I had begun to doubt all the things that were me. Been in so many places, you know I've run so many races. Looked into the empty faces of the people of the night. Something is just not right, 'cause I know that I gotta get out of here. I'm so alone. Don't you know that I gotta get out of here, 'cause New York's not my home.
While most of Shasta County still has hours before their day begins, the bakery staff at Orchard Nutrition Center is wide awake and beginning their day. Each morning, they arise well before the dawn to start about their task of creating fresh, wholesome, nutritious baked items. Why do we do what we do? Sabrina, the Orchard Nutrition Center bakery manager, has been the culinary heartbeat of the bakery department since 2003. Sabrina, along with bakery clerk Kathleen, used the freshest ingredients available to create a variety of freshly baked breads, muffins, cookies, scones, and an abundance of baked gluten-free and vegan items every day. Great detail is taken to ensure that every item meets the strict Orchard Nutrition Center guidelines for taste, nutrition, and freshness. At Orchard Nutrition Center, our staff is like family, and our customers are our friends who come back again and again because we truly believe we're all in this together. We love seeing the smiles on our customers' faces. So when people ask, why do we do what we do? That's why. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store.
CareNet Pregnancy Center of Northern California is hosting a community-wide free event on Friday, March 4th at Reading Christian Fellowship Church from 6 to 8:30. Join us for a beautiful evening of worship, presentations from our team, client stories, an open mic for Q&A, as well as a call to action. If you have a heart for celebrating life and our community, we'd love for you to partner with us at this event. Please RSVP at carenetnorcal.org/upcomingevents. Call 530-246-7075.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9
on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
KCNR 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
I drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. Did you write the book of love? And do you have faith in God above?
Mind Radio. We could just listen to that whole thing and it wouldn't bother me a bit.
Good stuff there.
Yeah.
In more ways than one.
Let's
huh?
hope not. Yeah. So we got cut off here with our guest Tom Del Picaro, and
I think we got him back on the line.
I think we have him.
I'm here.
Hey,
all
right. I'm not sure what happened, but we were right in the middle of Jefferson here, so.
I've written at length about this phenomenon of the more government centralizes, the more division that occurs, the more people pull back. I mean, this is what the majority of the states that have sued over Obamacare, states suing over gun control issues, the nullification. That's called nullification, which is what Madison and of course Jefferson wrote about in the Kentucky and I think it was Maryland resolutions way back when. So none of this surprises me. I think the role of someone like myself is to help people understand why this dynamic occurs and how to unwind it. We should not have this process going on where people look. I'm not even allowed where I live to cut a tree down in my backyard without asking permission. I tell people I'm renting my home from the government. So I get the dynamic, and we need people in office who understand the cause of the dynamic and will seek to unwind it.
So, are you for the state of Jefferson or not?
What does that mean to be for it?
Are you supporting, you know, the movement, you know, to split the state, or is it, you know, and again, I understand that, you know, it kind of catches you between a rock and a hard place to state a position on something like this, because, of course, they're going to, if you say you're for it, they're going to lambaste you in the media, and if you don't say you're for it, then, you might be alienating a whole bunch of voters, but... You know, I don't know if you want to state your position, but that is the question. Do you support the state of Jefferson movement in the North State?
Do I think the state should be split up at this stage? No, I do not. Do I think we need to redress the causes that are doing this and to reduce the power of Sacramento over the counties? Yes.
So how do we redress those grievances under the current system we have in California?
Well, for one thing, what Republicans have done poorly nationally and in this state, take the water issue, is failed to tell voters what is really going on and its negative effects. I mean, take water. People believe that we have a water crisis because of the drought. the Republicans in Sacramento haven't told people, no, there's massive mismanagement going on, and that's what we need to correct. So the if you're fighting to limit government, the first step you need to take is to, like Howard Jarvis did, tell people, look, this is the dynamic that's going on. What you think the problem is actually isn't the problem. So we're not going to make nationally or locally the progress we need unless we who believe in limited government are much more proactive in explaining to the electorate the problem with ever larger government and the practical problems that it's causing.
But how do we do that when we're facing the fact that we have roughly 8 representatives in the North State that represent a third of the state? We're vastly overwhelmed, and you yourself admit that the Republican representatives we have are already doing a poor job. So not only do we not have enough representatives to defend ourselves from the rest of the state of California, electing more Republicans is obviously not the answer, as you yourself admitted they're doing a poor job of.
Well, not necessarily. I didn't say that electing more Republicans is a bad idea. I think you certainly should be an advocate for electing me, someone who understands the dynamic, versus the other Republican who will only add to it. You need advocates, statewide advocates, that talk about these problems and raise the issues and aren't afraid to do it. That's the first step. I mean, there are good Republicans that you can elect, and there's not so good Republicans that you can elect. You can't give up. I'm not afraid of the voters. Take the Supreme Court issue. Told the LA Times, why not make this a national election on a referendum of what our Supreme Court should be like? The Republicans should stand up and say, we believe in a court that applies the law, not makes the law.
Why do you think there's a downside to splitting the state?
According to whose lines and in what ways? Look, I understood why there was an initiative to split it into 6 things. Do I think California will become unwieldy in all these budget problems? Yes, I do. As I sit here today, am I going to be an advocate for that process?
Well, let me clarify something. We're not trying to split the state up into 6 things. There's 21 counties that have now signed on and put declarations in at Sacramento to split the state according to the people who want out. Okay?
Yeah.
And it's a constitutional process, just like, you know, they split the state in North and South Dakota, or West Virginia and West Virginia, or North Carolina and Carolina, was because in the original model, the founders believed that if you had, you know, you should have so many representatives out there for so much population. In other words, you know, we got one guy up here for 500,000 people. The model should be a lot smaller than that. So they wanted to have
You know, Madison actually wanted it much larger because he didn't want runaway democracy. Others wanted it smaller. Again, I understand why you say this, and I think it's a glaring problem the way, even where I live, there's a lack of representation. My candidacy is about the flat tax and pro-economic growth and some of these other issues. And I don't think a candidate should overextend himself, promise too many things that he can't deliver, and can't be honest about the solutions he thinks he can bring within the time period.
Tom, I can totally respect that. And the only thing that I would ask of you at this point is that maybe you do a little research on the current state of affairs in the Jefferson movement. Maybe contact Mark Baird and at least have
I'll be happy to talk to you about it more when I'm there.
Right, exactly. Because, you know, it's obviously that you're not up to speed on what we're exactly doing. And I understand your hesitancy at this point, and I think you're right. So, you know, with that said, let's move on. We just kind of wanted to make sure we got your opinion and that, you know, maybe be able to get you to understand we'd like you to do more homework on that to get a solid foundation of what we're talking about.
Sure, and I would hope that you would send me anything you want so that regardless of where I am on the issue, I understand it better. And even if my position is they need to redress the wrongs in some regards, but
Tom,
I also understand why you say that it should be smaller.
Tom?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're coming to the top of the hour. They're going to cut us off. If you want to hang on the line, we'll catch you on the other side of this hard break about 5 after the hour. If you have any questions or comments, give us a call, 530-605-4567.
TownHall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The suspect in the killing of a Virginia police officer and another person yesterday has been identified as an Army staff sergeant assigned to the Pentagon. Authorities in Prince William County, just south of Washington, D.C., say Ronald Hamilton is being held today without bond. He's accused of fatally shooting Officer Ashley Gwinden after she answered a domestic violence call at Hamilton's home in Woodbridge. Two other officers were wounded. A county official says the other person killed was Hamilton's wife. The battle over whether women should be required to register for the draft has taken a new turn.
A new bill that says only Congress can make that decision, not the courts. The issue has taken on increased urgency after Defense Secretary Ashton Carter opened all combat roles to women. The legislation sponsored by Utah's Mike Lee would amend the Military Selective Service Act to say that only Congress can change who is required to register. A couple of top generals have said they believe women should be required to register.
Correspondent Wally Hines. Pro-Western moderate voters have won in a complex series of parliamentary elections in Iran, Connie Lawn reports.
Moderates and reformists appear to dominate the elections in Iran. These are the first votes since the controversial nuclear deal was approved by the UN and many other countries. There remains deep suspicion of that deal in the U.S. and Israel. Younger Iranians favor economic improvements they expect to gain from the deal, but hardliners still oppose the West, and the situation in Iran remains chaotic. Connie Lawn reporting from Washington.
Utah authorities are investigating a shooting last night by Salt Lake City police that left one man in critical condition and triggered hours of unrest in a downtown neighborhood. Police say two officers were called to break up a fight and found one man hitting someone else with a broomstick. More on these stories at townhall.com.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-423-4557. That's 1-800-423-4557. 1-800-423-4557. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors not available in all states.
Authorities have jailed an Algerian citizen for possible links with the suspected ringleader of the Paris attacks, Abdelhamid Aboud. A court in Algeria's Béja province said the man who lives in Belgium was jailed earlier this week in the northern Algerian town of Akbou. The man is suspected of having links with terrorist attacks in Paris, according to a court statement. Belgium was the home of four of the November 13th attackers who killed 130 people in Paris, including Aboud, who died in a police raid in an apartment in Paris suburbs 5 days later. It's tax time, so you better think twice before clicking on that link in your email inbox. Experts say many look like legitimate communications from your bank, human resources department, or email provider, but they may actually be part of a scheme designed to steal the confidential information that's stored in your computer. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. A lot of parents are concerned and frustrated over an outbreak of so-called super lice invading their neighborhoods.
The new strain of bugs that can't be killed with normal over-the-counter treatments has been reported in some 25 states. A company called Lice Clinics of America has developed a new FDA-approved treatment called Airol. It costs $170 a pop, but the company guarantees its success. The process takes about an hour and uses heated air to dehydrate the lice and the eggs in a single treatment. Some insurance companies may cover the cost, but officials say prevention is still the best approach, urging parents to teach their kids about what could happen if you share combs, brushes, and hats. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Today is Sunday, February the 28th, and a birthday for a number of notable people, including actress and singer Bernadette Peters. She is 68 years old today. Hall of Fame college basketball coach Dean Smith turns 85. Racer Mario Andretti, 76. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside. I am American.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. You can call in here at 605-4567. That's again 605-4567. And if you had the area code
530. Try it again. 530.
You call 503, you'll get Oregon.
We're not under the rule of Portland yet.
It'll probably say disconnected. Wrong number.
We've been talking with our guest, Tom DelVaccaro, and he is running for U.S. Senate. We've been talking about all kinds of issues, and I think we got a few more here.
One of the ones I wanted to bring up is, what are your feelings on things that you could do as a California senator to force the federal government's hand in turning over the state lands that are currently managed by the federal government, like the BLM lands, the U.S. Forest Service lands?
Well, obviously, the power of the EPA and BLM needs to be rolled back. I am not in favor of the federal government taking over all of America's lands. I wasn't in favor of, well, I wasn't around, but I wasn't in favor of Teddy Roosevelt doing it through executive order, and it's simply out of control today. Look, if communism starts where private property ends.
That's right.
We need to, that's not me, it's Will Durant who said that. We need to the answer to your question, the minority is able to get away with this stuff, the minority that rules the government, the powerful, get away with this stuff when we don't talk about it. And so a U.S. senator from California should be a advocate for a statewide water program. It should be an advocate to bring to the fore that the state's trying to take away property rights and that the federal government is taking away property rights, and that not only do you question the legality of it, but that it's actually bad as a practical matter. So we need someone who actually advocates for these positions in an articulate way, and the BLM is completely out of control.
Why is that?
In my view, I mean, do you guys think it's in control?
No. I mean, look at what's happening in Oregon recently, and then, you know, Obama just signed another monument thing. I was looking at the New American, you know, his audacity is monumental, as a matter of fact. I mean, that's the headline, monumental audacity. Obama grabs a huge western lands by executive order. I mean, we've got a camera.
And then what they do is they take it out of use to mm-hmm. some regard. Take the Forest Service. Now it's they put the forests off use. They let them grow out of control, increase the fire danger, reduce the water runoff. Bad policy after bad policy. So I think you need an advocate for this type of thing.
Well,
and I don't want to underplay how important that is. Because if people actually knew what their government was doing, they wouldn't like it.
Well, I think a lot of people are beginning to wake up to the fact of what is really going on. Are you aware of the new proposed Siskiyou Monument?
I am not.
It's one that we've been following for a while that was initially described to us as the Castle Crags Monument, which is a small state park north of Reading here that was actually started, and they were talking about turning that into a national monument, and we really recently, actually about 2 o'clock this morning, got a look at the proposed Siskiyou Monument that actually takes from Castle Crags, which is essentially Dunsmuir, all the way to Grants Pass, Oregon, over to Happy Camp towards the Pacific Ocean to the Oregon border and turns it into a federal reserve if that goes through. What kind of things could you do as a senator to stop us from being moved onto the reservation?
Well, I'm not going to I'm not professing to be an expert with respect to that particular type of law, but you do need someone who's an advocate who says that the federal government doesn't need to be to own the United States, and that's the general principle. And we have to show how the BLM is destroying property rights and what their goals are, and that, you know, that they're essentially becoming an unelected bureaucracy like the EPA that's out of control. So I'm not going to say anything with regard to the specifics of the Siskiyou thing that you just described, but none of this surprises me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're even talking about taking the dams out now up there again in southern Oregon, northern California.
You know what amazes me about that? They always talk about how it's, you know, that it disturbs the natural state of affairs. As if when you create a dam, you don't, that there isn't at that point an entire ecological system that's created, right? Mm. I mean, we have I have a reservoir up 3 miles from me, and it's been there forever, and there's a whole ecological system built around it. But they always say, oh, we need to tear it down to restore. Aren't you destroying the system that exists now if you tear the dam down?
Well, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So why is it okay to destroy that for another?
Well, because
rationale.
Because it's a control thing, you know.
No, I get it, but we need to say, don't tell me you're concerned about, you're just picking the one you like versus the one that exists, and oh, by the way, humans are always left out of the process.
Yeah, it's funny how nobody, you know, all this stuff is done in the name of this or that, but we always end up with a bigger, more powerful government and more leaning towards a communist viewpoint on all this stuff. And, you know, I mean, after a while, like I say, if you walk through the forest and you come out in an opening and all the trees are planted in a row, it doesn't take a rocket scientist after a while to figure out that there's a plan and an active agenda.
Well, look, they want 1.5 million less ag acres in the Central Valley.
Yeah, that'll feed everybody.
They don't want us here.
Right.
They want to move us out of the state. Who is they? A very small group of environmental leaders. You know, as I say in my speeches, raise your hand if you think we should have less food.
Well,
but they want that.
Well, it's true. I get it. So I just wanted to go a little bit into your background, and then we probably have to let you go here. I know we had you for an hour, but you work for Forbes as a columnist.
So my father actually got me involved in politics at a very young age. He helped start the Conservative Party of New York and elected James Buckley to the U.S. Senate. So my family's been involved with, I don't know, bucking the establishment for a while. He got me started as a teenager reading things like Milton Friedman's Free to Choose, Will and Ariel Durant's Story of Civilization, where I learned that, you know, governments start out small and collapse when they're big. And overtax people, and then they try and get out from under it. It's the same story all the time,
so why do
we try to repeat it? Currently, I'm a Forbes contributor, so I don't, quote, work for them, but I've been writing for them for 3 years. I also, Washington Times, Daily Caller, The Hill, many things. You can go to my website. One of my websites called Political Vanguard, VANGUARD.com. And you can get all my columns over the years, or many of them. I am an author. I write about my current book, The Divided Era, explains our three most divisive periods in the past, why they arose, why they're the same as today, and the distinct difference today, and then I talk about ways to get beyond it.
Hmm. So with all that said, you know, what is the one thing that you are going to do and promise that you're going to change?
Well, I'm a lifelong advocate for the flat tax, and that is essential to long-term prosperity. The other thing I think I bring is a strategic way for Republicans to start winning some of these issues. It's not enough to say you're for or against something. The question is, can you move the country to get behind you? Republicans are woeful in getting public opinion behind them. And so, for instance, let me give you a sense of how if I was running the Senate or the House, what I would do. I would say I would pass between now and the election day 6 major reform packages, one on the VA, one on the post office, one a flat tax. You can name them. And then what you do is you pass it on the first of the month, you send it on to the president's desk, and then you leave Washington. And take the VA. You go around the country and you say, this is what the VA was started to do. Here's why it's failed to do it. Here's how our reform will make government services that we are going to provide to the vets better. Here's how it saves America money. You tell the president to do this. And then on the next month, you do the same thing, the same process. And then at the end of the year, you say to the American people, it's October 15th or before, look, President Obama's against these 6 things. Hillary's against all of them. Elect us, and this is how you'll achieve it. So the ability to break the logjam that is occurring today is what I bring to the table, or at least the ideas to do that, versus just understanding how big government swallowing up the states and swallowing up the counties is a bad thing. That's the kind of thing I bring to the table.
One last question. Would you hold out till the next president is elected to appoint a Supreme Court?
I wrote about this in The Hill. Thank you. This is the most important Supreme Court nomination since FDR. You know, people forget that the original New Deal was shut down by the Supreme Court. FDR bullied the court, threatened to pack it, and they capitulated. And it changed America. Now this pick, if we get a Kagan in replacement of Scalia, then whether we have a constitution or not, or an effective one at least, is certainly up in the air, and likely we won't. So this is a huge moment. So I think what Republicans should do is turn this into a national referendum, and they should not. They should say, like Joe Biden said, wait till the next election. But it's not enough just to wait and say, no, we're not going to give a hearing. It's Republicans should go out there and explain that, look, we believe that the Constitution says certain things, this is what Scalia said, and doesn't say certain other things, and that court's job is just to apply the law, not to make the law. The Democrats think differently. We think that's unfair and swallowing up your rights to pass laws. So stick with us. Stick with the more original idea of the Supreme Court. I think we should have a national referendum on that and make this election about that, and I'd love to participate in that.
Very good. Well, you know, we really...
By the way, can I tell you one last thing when people... Because not everybody will be there Monday at the Tea Party. You know this notion about whether it's a living document?
Yeah.
And Scalia said it says it's a piece of paper. It says some things and it doesn't say others.
Right.
What I tell people is, you think it's a living document, then you should take your mortgage down to the bank and say, this is a living mortgage. Times have changed.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair anymore.
Better interest now.
Yes. Yeah. And see how far that gets you.
Yeah, it's a contract.
Remember, what Scalia believed is that voters had a right to pass laws and try things. But the courts are taking that away from us. And so that's the system I favor. I think the legislature should be able to make mistakes, and that the court shouldn't override that process and create too many federal laws that destroy our Tenth Amendment system.
Well, they're not supposed to be creating laws at all. I mean, you know, that's the problem. You got these guys that are advocating from the bench, and, you know, like you say, the Constitution is a contract between the states and the federal government to give them limited and enumerated powers and nothing else. And we have gone so far beyond that that the Constitution is hanging by a thread as it is.
I agree. Jefferson warned us also about federal judges and their ability to swallow things up. Mm-hmm. But I still think Republicans should do a better job of explaining it and provide actual solutions to problems, not just say the Democrats are wrong.
Well, I think it's up to the people at this point. I really do. And that's why we do this radio program, is to inform and educate, get people involved and engaged and mobilize them, because that's what really needs to happen out there. And that's what's going to change the tide.
I thank you for allowing me to be on the program. Mm-hmm. You can go to TomDell, TomDell.com. And help me out. It's a big state. Even if you can only give me $25 to help me pay for gas to come see you guys, it'd be good.
Very good.
All right. Well, thank you.
Look forward to seeing you on Monday, Tom. And, you know, have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, with that, you want to go to a break now? And
I guess we could. And
regroup.
And regroup on this and see what we're going to hit on after the break. So this has been KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
On three, break.
I took my love and I took it down. Climbed a mountain and I turned around. And I saw my reflection in the snow-covered hills, till the landslide brought me down. Oh, mirror in the sky, what is love? Can the child within my heart rise above? Can I sail through the changing ocean tide? Of my life, I don't know. Oh, I don't know. Well, I've been afraid of changing, 'cause I built my
get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM.
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream soundbites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hi, this is Sue Blake from Powerhouse Solar. Like most people, you are probably considering how you're going to reduce your household expenses and make those dollars stretch a little further. At Powerhouse Solar, we specialize in helping people find peace in the chaos. By lowering their electric bills through solar energy, we put them back in control and help them save money. We design solar systems that lower your energy bills, give you a manageable monthly payment you can count on, and avoid the electric rate increases. If you want energy independence with a battery backup system, we do that too. Getting solar installed on your home or business is a smart way to combat rising energy bills, and choosing the superior quality of SunPower Solar is equally important. Powerhouse Solar, we're a premier dealer for SunPower. We choose to partner with SunPower because they are the strongest American solar manufacturing company with the best warranty and the most efficient solar panel in the world. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or learn more at powerhousesolar.com.
While most of Shasta County still has hours before their day begins, the bakery staff at Orchard Nutrition Center is wide awake and beginning their day. Each morning, they arise well before the dawn to start about their task of creating fresh, wholesome, nutritious baked items. Why do we do what we do? Sabrina, the Orchard Nutrition Center bakery manager, has been the culinary heartbeat of the bakery department since 2003. Sabrina, along with bakery clerk Kathleen, used the freshest ingredients available to create a variety of freshly baked breads, muffins, cookies, scones, and an abundance of baked gluten-free and vegan items every day. Great detail is taken to ensure that every item meets the strict Orchard Nutrition Center guidelines for taste, nutrition, and freshness. At Orchard Nutrition Center, our staff is like family, and our customers are our friends who come back again and again because we truly believe we're all in this together. We love seeing the smiles on our customers' faces. So when people ask, why do we do what we do? That's why. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store.
Hi, I'm Rick Hughes, host of the newest talk radio show heard here on KCNR, 1460 AM on the dial. It's called The Flotline, F-L-O-T, Flotline. It'll be heard every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 AM. Come join me and learn how God has tremendous problem-solving devices that you can use to stop the outside sources of adversity before they become the inside sources of stress. That's The Flotline with Rick Hughes every Sunday morning here on KCNR at 7 a.m.
It's that time of year again for the Reading Gun Show this March 5th and 6th at the Holiday Inn Convention Center. Saturday hours are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. This is the gun show of the year, jam-packed with handguns, shotguns, rifles, ammunition, and, of course, reloading supplies. The Reading Gun Show this March 5th and 6th at the Holiday Inn Convention Center.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Riding on the city of New Orleans, Illinois Central, Monday morning rail. 15 cars and 15 restless riders, 3 conductors, 25 sacks of mail. All along the southbound Odyssey, train pulls out at Kankakee and rolls along past houses, farms, and fields. Passing trains that have no name, freight yards full of old black men, and the graveyards of the rusted automobiles. Good morning, America.
I always did like this song, like Jeffrey said. As opposed to Woody Guthrie.
Don't you know me?
Now, Woody Guthrie was kind of a communist, if I remember right. This land is your land. This land is my land. Nobody owns it. But I like this one. Anyway, we're back. Go ahead.
I said that's good.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. Let's do a little economics here. Everybody knows we're in recovery, right? The recovery continues, and
yeah, that's why the homeless keep growing out there. The population of the homeless people, and more problems going on. Hardly any food on the shelves in the stores.
Yeah, it's interesting some of this stuff here. You know, we've got economic recovery. This comes from the economic collapse.blog.com. Economic recovery: 13 of the biggest retailers in America are closing down stores. You know, so evidently, you know, we know Sears lost $580 million, and they are scheduled to close at least 50 more unprofitable stores by the end of the year. Sports Authority, bankruptcy in March. Kohl's has been growing aggressively, but now it plans to shutter 18 stores in 2016. Target has just finished closing 13 stores in the United States. Best Buy, 30 stores last year. Office Depot plans to close a total of 400 stores by the end of 2016. Let's see, Walmart closing 269 stores, including 154 inside the United States. Kmart is closing down more than two dozen stores over the next several months. JCPenney will be permanently shutting 47 more stores after it closed a total of 40 stores in 2015.
Yeah, and a lot of those businesses are, they've been in business for a while. I mean, Sears, JCPenney's, they're one of the very first.
Macy's decided it needs to shutter 36 stores and lay off approximately 2,500 employees. The Gap is closing 175 stores in North America. We got Arrows. I'm not sure. Arrows Spodal. I'm not sure what place that is. It must be East Coast or something. 84 stores across America. Finishing Line has announced 150 stores will be shutting down over the next few years. I mean, good grief. And the stock market continues to do all right, right?
Yeah.
No, it's starting to implode as well. And all you have to do is do a three-month window on market watch of all of Europe, Asia, and America. And guess what? It gets worse as time goes
by. Yeah, they wouldn't
be
manipulating that at all to make those numbers look good at the moment.
But don't worry. The recovery continues. Anyway, we have Gary on the line.
Yes, we do. Gary.
Good morning. Okay,
good morning.
Thank you for pinning him down. And I'll be the first to say it. Mark, you were nice to him. If I didn't have other things that need to do, I would not waste my time hearing him tomorrow night at the Tea Party. He does not have our mind set. He's Bay Area, or within the system, unless you think he's teachable, and I doubt it, because I don't think you can explain it to somebody who doesn't understand. And his mindset, to me, is within the system, and he talks a good game. It'd be nice if he comes through with a few of those things, but he's not Jefferson.
Well, anyway. I'm inclined to agree with you, but you know, maybe he can be taught, and you know, we have hopes. But at this point in time, until we get the state of Jefferson, we really have no control over the federal, you know, senators anyway. So,
right, yeah, yeah, that's what I was going to say. He's not there for all of our state issues, per se, right now.
Well, he doesn't even understand them. Yeah. I mean, he's talking about the movement that happened back in the 40s, and, you know, I don't think he understands half this stuff. I'd be great. But we'll see. Maybe if he calls Mark Baird up and, you know, maybe talks to him about the issues, maybe we can bring him around. We can only hope.
Well, yeah, but he smacks to me, sounds like Doug Wright, who's one of our Reading people, the same thing, has no clue about what we're doing and wants to play games within the system. So, well, good luck for teaching, but thank you very much for doing it. It was a great, great program, and you really zeroed in and cleared up for right now where this individual stands. So I thank you very much, and see you tomorrow night.
All right. Thanks, Gary. Okay, so let's getting back on our economic viewpoint here a little bit. There's a lot of news going on. Here's an interesting one. Safes are selling out in Japan. Okay, negative interest rates. Okay, remember that. That's going to be here. It's called NERP. Triggers cash hoarding. Negative interest rates may have not found their way to bank deposits in most locales yet, but that doesn't mean that doesn't mean the public isn't starting to see the writing on the wall. At first, NERP was an anomaly, an obscure policy tool that most analysts and market watchers assumed would be implemented on a temporary basis in a kind of let's see if this is even possible experiment with an idea that, from a common sense perspective, makes zero sense. But the funny thing is that central banks from Denmark to Sweden to Switzerland went negative and stayed there. They even doubled down, taking rates even more negative than, you know, and before you knew it, the public started to catch on. This is kind of like you put $1,000 in the bank, you come back a year later and you have $950 in the bank. How long are you going to keep your money in the bank? You know, when NERP fails, when it failed to resuscitate the global growth and trade. Oh, by the way, the global economy recovery continues, according to all the pandering BS coming out.
Which part
sock
of the
puppets
globe is it recovering?
I think Fiji.
might be recovering.
Is Fiji good to go?
They're good to go. They got coconuts, and they don't need any clothes.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe North
I'm
Korea,
in.
According to those younger people, North Korea's
I'm
good. Just saying, you know. Those young people thought North Korea was a good place to go,
It's a great place to have a bomb. Yeah, what could go wrong?
Let me get this, if I understand. So the banks are going to charge you to store your money in the bank because they're having solvency problems and they don't have enough capital to issue loans to keep themselves sustainable with the return on interest rates. So by charging people to keep their money, more people are going to take the money out of the bank and make them less solvent?
Well, their issue is they think that they can, the people will take the money out of the bank and spend it back into the economies, and that will revive the economy. Only what they don't put into perspective is here is when an emergency
people can think.
Well, when an emergency is happening, do you go out and spend all your money? When you think that the economy is shutting down, or you think that we're going into crisis mode or bad economic times, do you go right out and spend all your money?
So that's like the same thinking that if you charge me to park my car, I'm just going to drive my car all the time.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So and it goes even so now. Get ready for the next stage of the game, because when the NERP, negative interest rate policy, failed to resuscitate growth and trade, now they're calling for bans on cash. Now, okay, think what you want. Canada, it could never happen here. But I don't think they thought it could happen in Switzerland or Denmark or...
But it is happening here.
But
there's no worry in Denmark because you don't have any money anyways. The government takes all your money and tells you what you can have.
It's just like Fiji.
It's no problem.
Yeah, all you got to do is swim all day and run out there and get a lobster every once in a while. Go up on the beach with your honey and, you know, have lobster and sand.
Yeah.
And, you're fine. But, they are calling. And Larry Summers came out with this last week. Larry Summers, the famed Larry Summers from Harvard that used to be the Treasury Secretary for somebody, I don't remember who. Obama, he says we need to go to a cashless society because, that way, people won't be able to pull their money out of their bank account and put it under their mattress. They'll have to leave it in there because now that you have a cash ban, then you have digital currency, and I don't know who controls all the digital currency. Jeez.
But you kind of got that going on with Chase Bank right here in the United States. You can't deposit cash into Chase Bank.
Yeah, they can't really come right out and say they're going to ban cash because people might go,
Yeah, exactly.
But, they didn't come out and say that, the federal government was going to start taking land over in the Western states and just...
Well, I must be one really dumb SOB because I don't understand how any of this works. I don't see the result in the end game here being what they want it to be.
Well, the result in the end game is going to be, and from their viewpoint, I believe, it's complete control of everybody and their money.
They'll have control of your food.
And
your money. And your land. And
you go,
your water.
Hey, I want my money out of the bank. And they go, sorry.
Get on the treadmill.
So what you're saying is that
if you have your card,
required to keep your money in a bank, and you can't transfer it any other way digitally between different financial institutions, how far would it be before they started implementing on what transactions and deposits are authorized by those financial institutions to dictate what I can and can't buy?
Shut up.
Okay. That's what I said. I'm a dumb SOB. I don't get any of this.
That bomb throwing malcontent thing's coming out again. And, so don't worry. Holding money in cash, to protect yourself from the banks and the government being out of control.
So they could do something like, it's legal to own guns, but that's not an authorized transaction.
Or they could just go, we're not giving you your money. Shut up and go back and apply for your EBT card.
Your balance is zero.
But it'll be okay because I get free college, right?
Yeah, you get free college, and you'll have your own little free house, and you'll get enough to live on.
Your free phone.
And everything will be awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, you get a free phone.
Yeah.
Thank God I can go back not to thinking for myself. I'm obviously not good at it.
Here's the problem, though. In Venezuela, okay, they're shipping gold to pay their debts. Now, that's because, if you remember Germany, you know, after a while, nobody would accept German marks because they debased their currency. Well, you can do the same thing digitally. If after a while, if nothing matters, but, you know, you just got digital currency all stored up in these nice little computers and, you know, there's no backing and whoever controls them can do whatever they want. And, I got to shut this off. You know, then we got, you know, this is like a Bernie Madoff thing.
So what you're saying on this one is that if we go to an all digital currency, to conduct transactions outside of the banking institutions, we would need another viable form of currency amongst ourselves. And since paper, at the end of the day, just has pretty pictures on it, it would be a good idea to have hard currency like gold and silver on hands to exchange for products?
Thus the term hard, cold cash.
Weird. Wow. Mind blown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
And it works.
Yeah. So this last week, Venezuela shipped gold to Europe so that it can pay its debt. Now, why is Venezuela shipping any gold to Europe? It's just that archaic, you know, barbaric relic of a metal that doesn't matter about anything that seems to hold its value over thousands of years and forever and can't be diminished and doesn't rust, and everybody accepts it worldwide. In lieu of Venezuelan... Oh, you know, what is their currency in Venezuela? I don't even know. Hochas or something? I don't know.
I don't know. Pesos.
Pesos, you know. Mm. Hey, let's go get some. I got an idea, man.
So
let's go get some more digital pesos.
We won't accept your currency because it's completely useless, but we're going to accept something that we claim is even more useless in gold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the gold was shipped out just last week before two big payments were due this month, totaling $2.3 billion on Friday alone. Venezuela has to pay bondholders $1.5 billion. Venezuela is running out of cash, and many experts believe...
So the accumulated wealth of the citizens of Venezuela is departing their country.
Yeah, it's just that metal crap, you know, that stuff that's no good, and, you know, that you can't counterfeit or print out of thin air, and... You know, actually is intrinsic and has had value since it's kind of like money and the commodity all wrapped up in one and that.
So they're shipping their gold out and giving them paper.
Yeah, they're bringing in paper by the plane load.
Yeah, here you go.
I have an idea.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. So
you have a 747, the new wheelbarrow to go buy your bread.
Yeah, so this is, Deutsche Bank and Deutsche Bank. Is it Deutsche Bank? Deutsche Bank? El Deutsche Bank?
Yeah, the Deutsche Bank's been douched.
The Deutsche Bank.
Yeah.
In Germany, and who just happens to be, like, way underwater. And Venezuela, we're negotiating. So I got an idea. We will create bonds out of thin air, and we'll sell them to everybody. And they can print all the money out of thin air.
So...
And everybody will owe everybody else until everybody can't pay what they owe everybody else because they owe too much to everybody else and the interest rate will, you know, no longer is able to pay unless they just keep printing money and dividing the currency until we hyperinflate, or we can pay you in gold.
So the Deutsche Bank is done, which cripples the economy of Germany, who happens to be floating the bad loans of Greece, Italy, and Portugal, and that's what's driving the economic recovery?
Yeah, just like in Venezuela. It says any way you look at it, Venezuela is in a severe economic recession. Oh, I thought that said recovery. Inflation is skyrocketing, and the IMF estimates it will rise 720% this year. The economy tanked last year, shrinking 10%, and the value of its currency, the bolivar has plummeted. So in other words,
inflation's good because now people have more money.
Who said inflation was good? I want to know who
Nancy
that was.
Nancy Pelosi. Was that? Unemployment, yeah. Remember?
I think Bernie
said that,
too,
didn't he? Could
have
been Bernie.
I think Bernie said inflation's good because people have more money to spend.
If you're on unemployment, you go out and spend all your
little
money.
Little Timmy Geithner.
Yeah.
The only problem is that it gets worth less and less and less as time goes by.
Tim Geithner, that guy got beat up on the playground. I know he did.
Yeah, I think him and Harry Reid had a fight. But...
I still stick by that Harry Reid doofed it out there in Nevada and the Chinese showed up and drop kicked him in the side of the head.
Yeah, they should. We should cue up. Everybody was kung fu fighting, but
yeah,
Harry Reid.
Harry Reid versus a rubber band.
Yeah, not like lightning. I see Bob. I had queued up that, and we should play that. Go ahead and play that because this is for all those world bankers. You know that use imagination instead of real world currency. Then. You know, instead of actual value, they gold, silver, land, oil, they just use digital currency, and we should all do that now because cash has become obsolete. And just call up Larry Summers and ask him about it because he knows better than the rest of us. And you know, if you start hearing a big push towards a cashless society, it's for your own good.
Come with me. And you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look and you'll see into your imagination.
And we'll all be happy together.
Well, you do know that there was a unicorn sighted in California today.
Down on Jerry's ranch in Calusa.
Yeah, he was headed for the budget meeting.
Or the glue factory. Depending on your point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Bob, we got it. Yeah, okay, and in another unrelated story, world trade collapses most since crisis. So guess what? No matter how much they tell you on CNBC and ignore it on Fox News and the sock puppets Kramer, the meathead.
The meat puppet.
The meat puppet.
Yeah.
No matter what they tell you, buy on the dips. Buy on the dips. Well, what if the dips get bigger and bigger and bigger? I know.
Don't worry.
Sell on the rallies.
So my question is if it's actually worse than it was at the crisis, is that not a whole nother crisis?
Depends on whether you think that we should have a cashless society and digital currency and the government controls all of our bank accounts.
And if you're a government employee, then it's all good.
I think they should be in Southern California looking for that unicorn.
Yeah, there you go. Well, just looking at, you can go to Zero Hedge, World Trade Collapse, look at the graphs. One question that now dominates the global macro discussion, has subdued global growth and trade become the norm in a post-crisis world? Which begs the question that Red just asked, is if it's a post-crisis world and it's becoming worse than the crisis, is that still a post-crisis world, or is it a crisis world, or is that a pre-crisis before after the post-crisis with is this the postus with the mostus?
Or just a continuing slide from the original crisis?
I don't know, because I have to watch CNBC to tell me.
Is it like the Titanic hit the iceberg and that was a crisis, and the ship is now sunk? Is that a new crisis or just a continuation?
How come
of
the stock market's
crisis?
Still up that high? It should be way down.
Because inflation is good.
Because that's the only indicator ever is that, and it's like the unemployment rate, 4.9%. I feel so much better. We're now in economic recovery, and now everybody can buy houses, huh?
Yeah, 4.9% of the people that we still count are unemployed.
Yeah, I guess all the guys. It's just like the Hoovervilles back in the. There's Hoovervilles are springing up all over. They're living under the bridges. Who's the guy that Tom Fole? Who's the guy that did lived in the van down under the bridge with, Chris Farley? I can't remember his name. Matt Foley. Matt Foley. Educational, motivational speaker. Yeah. So Matt, living under the bridge, is telling you how good it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be great, right?
Yeah, well, it could always be worse.
You know, the Baltic Dry Index is in a veritable free fall. German manufacturing juggernaut is showing signs of faltering. The BRICS have ceased to be reliable drivers of the global growth. U.S. freight volumes are falling for the first time in years, and the list goes on. You know, we have, you know, it's almost like the timing belt on the global growth engine is a bit off, or the cylinders are not firing as they should. Maybe we should go to a break.
All right, we'll do that. You've been listening to KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they fought with expert timing. There was funky China men from funky Chinatown. They were chopping them up. They were chopping them.
Wellgate Sports Club has dedicated themselves to creating an environment that supports your personal goals, whatever they may be. That's because Wellgate Sports Club is more than just a gym. Wellgate is Reading's first premier sports club with a staff, programs, and 23,000 square foot facility designed to give you an exceptional experience every day. Now it's never been easier to take advantage of incredible amenities, including Reading's only indoor saltwater pool, outdoor jacuzzi, sauna, luxury towel service, and over 130 exercise classes designed from beginners to experts. For a limited time, you can become a member of Wellgate Sports Club with no enrollment fee. That's a $99 value. In addition, Wellgate Sports Club will provide you with 3 personal training sessions and a nutrition consultation absolutely free. That's another $225 value. There's never been a better time or a better place to get started. Call 768-1205 today for your personal tour. Or stop by 1740 Eureka Way and don't forget to visit online at WellgateSportsClub.com. Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
How about some traditional Mexican food for Second Tuesday dinner in March, Abby?
I love authentic Mexican food. We must be going to Mazatlan Grill.
That's right. With their welcoming, friendly staff and fiesta-like atmosphere, you can start with tableside guacamole made to your liking and sizzling fajitas and so much more to choose from.
Please join us on Tuesday, March 8th at Mazatlan Grill as they graciously donate a portion of the proceeds to Haven Humane Society to help them care for the stray, abused, and unwanted animals as they look to place them in loving homes.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
400-pound bears, Dakota Fred of Gold Rush fame, Tough Shed's Ultimate Man Cave, 220-foot Super Zip Line, Laser Tag, Man Submersible Water Rocket, Jetivators, Splash Dogs, Kids Crowd Fishing Pond, Rock Climbing Wall, Fast Spin. All this and more as Crown Motors presents the all-new NorCal Boat Sport and RV Show, March 4th, 5th, and 6th. For every sport enthusiast, this is the one event of the year not to be missed. Once a year only, show prices on boats, campers, trailers, guides, resorts, marinas, personal watercraft, fishing, tackle, guns, auto accessories, wildlife art, camping, RV accessories, and more. March 4th through 6th.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
City of Reading Public Works presents Water's Extreme Journey at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Starting January 29th, you can take the journey of a lifetime through the entire water cycle. This giant, interactive maze is loaded with fun, full-body and hands-on activities for the whole family. Water's Extreme Journey is created and traveled by Minotaur Mazes. Join the exciting and important quest for clean water at Turtle Bay. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore with the NorCal Sports Hour. Tune in every Tuesday at 6 here on KCNR 1460 for all things Warriors, Kings, A's, Giants, Niners, and Raiders, as well as all your local high school standouts. Get your NorCal Sports Fix every Tuesday at 6 on the NorCal Sports Hour here on KCNR 1460 and KCNR1460.com.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of the scene. Everything is awesome when we live in our dream. Everything is better when we stay together. Side by side, you and I are gonna win forever.
Yep. Everything is awesome when you're living a part of the, when you're a part of the dream, and you know you're a part of the machine. Here's the quote of the day. A liberal paradise would be a place where everybody has guaranteed employment, free comprehensive health care, free education, free food, free housing, free clothing, free utilities, and only law enforcement would have guns. And believe it or not, such a place does indeed exist. It's called prison. That's Joe Arpaio.
It's awesome, baby!
It's so true, though.
Yep.
It's like those kids earlier. Yay, North Korea.
Yay! Hey, they got a bomb! I guess when we were all vaporized. Hey, good for those guys.
Well, it makes me happy knowing that I'm just a few miles from a strategic target.
There you have it. It's just fun. You know, back to this war on cash. Okay, this is an article that comes from Real Clear Markets, and that's realclearmarkets.com. This is February 25th, 2016. Excuse me. An escalating war on the use of cash. On February 16th, the Washington Post printed an article, "It's Time to Kill the $100 Bill." This came on the heels of the CNN Money item the day before, entitled "The Death of the $500 Euro Bill Getting Closer." Excuse me. The former cited a recent Harvard Kennedy School working paper by, number 52 by senior fellow Peter Sands, concluding that the abolition of high denomination notes would help deter tax evasion, financial crime, terrorist finance, and corruption. In recent days, former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers, ECB, that's European Central Bank President Mario Draghi, and even the editorial board of the New York Times came out in support of the elimination of large currency notes. Apart from the question as to why these calls are being raised now with such frequency, the larger issue is whether these moves are actually needed or if they're merely a subterfuge for a more complex economic manipulations by central banks to extend control over private wealth.
Isn't that the same argument that they made when they eliminated the $1,000 bill?
You know, there could be something there. Yeah. Yeah. In early 2015, it was reported that Spain had already limited private cash transactions to 2,500 euros. Italy and France limited to 1,000. In France, all cash withdrawals in excess of 10,000 euros in a single month must be reported to the government. I think that sounds like us, too. In the U.S., such limits are 10,000 per withdrawal. China, India, and Sweden are among those with plans underway to eradicate cash. On April 20th, 2015, the Mises Institute reported that Chase, a subsidiary of J.P. Morgan Chase and a bailout recipient of some $25 billion, had announced restrictions on its customers' ability to cash in the payments on credit cards, mortgages, equity lines, and so forth. Now, does that sound like there could be a problem and there's sort of a cash issue with our government and banking?
No.
Never mind. But HSBC, an unrelated thing, in an unrelated argument, says helicopter may be our only savior. Helicopter money may be our only savior. The helicopter with all the money may be our only savior. I'll say that three times fast. In other words, we're back to Greenspan. Ben Bernanke.
Yeah.
His idea of saving an economy in crisis is to fly over everybody and throw it out the window, just like they're doing in Venezuela right now, where they shipped in seven 747s full of cash to distribute among the peons so that they can have plenty of money and they're all going to be prosperous while they shipped all their gold overseas. And they don't have any food or toilet paper.
Well, yeah, you'd have toilet paper then.
They have plenty of toilet. Didn't even think of that.
They got a ton of toilet.
Yeah.
Wow. There's always a silver lining to every cloud.
Mm-hmm.
I like that thought.
Yeah.
I'm feeling
happy.
Who
needs wealth? I got free toilet paper.
I'm going to my happy place now.
Yeah, two frogs walk into a bar. One of them does this.
Ow! Slap the punk! Call security!
Who's your daddy?
Ow!
Want a piece of me?
Frankie!
Look, he's changing colors.
Come on, squirt some tears, punk.
Frankie, I think they're upset.
And that's what's coming.
There you go. And just keep trusting the media to get all of your information from the news sources, all the news that you need to know or they want you to know. And there's no conspiracy theories out there. There's just conspiracy facts. Go look at the facts, because just because you say conspiracy doesn't mean there isn't one. You're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio. And I have to say it once again. You're an original. Don't die a copy. Remember, amateurs build the ark. Professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. And force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above party lines.
And this has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
To Super Tuesday with primary wins in New Hampshire and South Carolina and a caucus victory in Nevada. 12 states will go to the ballot boxes on Tuesday, including Texas, the home state of candidate Ted Cruz. Senator Lamar Alexander endorsing Marco Rubio for president. The Tennessee Republican says Rubio is tough on Islamic militants, an efficient administrator, and an advocate for veterans. Alexander is a former governor and secretary of education under President George H.W. Bush. Hillary Clinton is church hopping across Memphis, Tennessee, a day after her big victory over Bernie Sanders in South Carolina. She's trying to rally black voters ahead of the Super Tuesday.